Listen to me, you dirty fucks, because I'm only going to say this once. The end of the world show. There's 68 fucking tickets left. They're probably all spread out. You're probably not going to get to sit with your buddies, but you're going to have to deal with that shit, okay? That's how the world works. If you don't get your shit together early and get the tickets, you're going to have to live in the fucking boonies for the show. You're going to have to just go out there, get your freak on, sit with some other people. They will probably be wearing Death Squad t-shirts. You'll be fine. Honey, Honey Band, Joey motherfucking Diaz, Doug Stanhope, and moi. 12/21/2012. Will it really be the end of the world? Who the fuck knows? No one's ever predicted anything right, ever. Do you know that? Do you know that? Okay, and if the Mayans were so clever, where the fuck are they now? Exactly. I don't know. This podcast is brought to you by Onnit.com. If you go to onnit.com, you can get yourself some Alpha Brain or some Shroom Tech or some upgraded coffee. We just started selling Dave Asprey's Bulletproof Coffee. Did you know that a lot of coffee, when you buy it, this is really kind of crazy, but a lot of coffee, when you buy it, it has fungus on it. So it's not healthy for you. I did not know that until we went to we had the Dave Asprey podcast, and he explained it to us. His coffee does not have any of those issues. He believes that that's one of the reasons why coffee has gotten a bad rap from people as far as health tests. He feels like more tests need to be done because the negative health repercussions, he believes a lot of them stem from toxic mold that's on your coffee. It's crazy shit. If you go to bulletproofexec.com, he'll explain everything far better than me because he's actually smart and not just repeating shit that smart people have already figured out like me. Also at Onnit, we sell kettlebells and battle ropes and basically all shit manly, okay? If you're looking to get your fucking your life together and live at your optimum best, we sell all sorts of supplements for that. We got a lot of crazy shit coming down the pipe. We have a lot of new stuff at Onnit. We're constantly trying to
boner pills?
Add to, we're working on the testosterone booster. There's apparently a bunch of different natural herbs like Tungat Ali and a bunch of different ones that have actually been shown to have a real effect on your body's production of testosterone. It's kind of fascinating stuff.
I need instant boner pills, though. I don't need this long-term
You need that stuff that you were taking, which was basically some of a Viagra.
Right.
They kind of like fudge it. According to Aubrey explained to us how these boner pills work. When you buy like those at the supermarket or drugstore or whatever, those actually do work. And one of the reasons why they work is because a lot of these companies, they take and they buy, I forget the exact chemical name for Viagra, but whatever it is, they buy that stuff in bulk, and then they throw it in their supplements. So yeah, you take it, you get a boner, because it's Viagra, you fuck.
Because I guess there's like this loophole where the FCC, not the FCC, but the FDA, NWA.
Food and Drug Administration.
Yeah, they give you like a warning,
and,
you know, if they catch you.
Yeah, there's like a little fine, and, you know, and then if you get busted again, like the third time, apparently it's big.
Yeah, whatever. And then you just change the company.
So that's what the boner pills are. We don't have anything fake, okay? Everything we're selling, especially with in regards to supplements, it's very important. Brian and I sort of agreed this when we first started taking on sponsors. We didn't want to take on anybody shady. We've passed on people. Mm-hmm. We've had some offers for, you know, that would have paid us money that we were like, I don't think we should be involved with that. We only want to be involved with people that are doing legit, honorable things. And one of the coolest things about Onnit is the supplements are very good. They're the highest quality available. But if you don't like, if you order 30 pills of Alpha Brain, you try it and you say, this doesn't do anything for me, you can get 100% of your money back. You don't have to return the product. You just say, this shit sucks. That's how, first of all, how confident we are that what we're selling you actually works. Like, if you're a mess and your health is not in order, look, you got to deal with that first before you think about any of the effects of supplements, especially something subtle and although effective like nootropics. You got to get your body together, okay? Eat healthy, drink a fuckload of water. If you're taking opiates, stop. If you're smoking cigarettes, please try to stop. Drink a fuckload of water. Take yourself, what is that?
Don't take black this. Powder? If you ever find this boner pill, don't take it.
That's not good?
No, because I thought it was good because the guy said it was awesome, but look at the bottom right. It says one capsule for 3 days. I had a boner for 3 days, so don't do that.
You know what that means? Apparently. But the way it works is there's Viagra, but then there's Cialis. And Cialis, will last like a couple of days. That's probably what they put in that one.
All right. Well, that's not a good idea.
They're selling you some fucking drugs and they're sneaking them in. Well, that's the thing about supplements. It's like, it's a funky thing because the government, although obviously they don't do the best job of regulating the dangerous chemicals and actual pharmaceutical drugs, because there's a lot of them that wind up being like really dangerous. A lot of them that they pass that people wind up dying from and getting strokes. And I mean, we've all heard those late night lawsuits where someone who was on X drug for, you know, during the period of this year and that year when it snuck through and something was really bad for you. But the supplement industry, it's not really regulated at all. It's really kind of a Wild West situation. That's why it's really difficult when it comes to something like a nootropic. It's like, does this really work? Is this real? There on onnit.com, if you go there, there's a science page that explains all of the clinical studies that have been done on the various ingredients and what's good about them and what's been shown, how they've been shown to improve people's test scores. Anecdotal evidence, I'm a huge fan of it. Poker players, a lot of poker players love Alpha Brain. It's just another thing that you should be doing to keep your body functioning at an optimal level. It's not the one thing that's going to fix you, but it is another thing that will help you. It is all the various nutrients that support the brain's production of human neurotransmitters. And even Dennis McKenna was impressed by our ingredients, which was very exciting. Use the code name Rogan and save yourself 10% off any and all supplements. All right, you fucks? We have too many sponsors today.
We have any more?
Yeah, we have a fucking shitload.
We have Ting.
You want to say something?
Yeah, I just got my Ting phone.
Yes, Ting is our next sponsor. How crazy.
Huh?
I said, that's our next sponsor.
Oh, sweet. Because they finally gave me one of these Samsung Galaxy S3s, which I've been playing around like crazy with. And it's great, man. That fucking big screen really is a big difference.
I told you, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
When you go online,
yeah,
it's a game changer. Apple, you fucked up. You should have just admitted that you fucked up. And went with the bigger screen.
Yeah.
Who's working over at Apple now? Steve Jobs probably would have went with the bigger screen.
And you know what feels great about it? Damn. Because I'm going to be using it as my second phone, is that if you don't want to like pay for it, you could just lower your minutes down to almost nothing per month.
Right.
I think the lowest it was like $6 a month for having like just nothing. Like, you know,
so how many minutes is it?
I think you pay per minute when you're down at $6 a month.
Oh, but, wow. Yeah. So it's like when you're in a foreign country.
Yeah.
Shit.
So like you could just pretty much like fall off the face of the planet with that phone if you want to.
You know, I know a lot of people are down to like no phone calls.
Right.
They're like, all you text me. If you call them up, they don't answer. And it says, hey, don't leave me a message. Leave me a text. I don't listen to my voicemails.
Right.
I know like 10 people that rocket like that.
Mm-hmm.
What Ting is, what Brian's talking about, and unfortunately Honey is just sitting here staring.
Yeah, no, like, we're absorbing so all this information.
There's nothing to absorb. There's nothing here.
But they have badass phones.
Yes.
And they're pretty much unlocked on Ting's network. So
yes,
you could pretty much just get a sweet phone. You don't have to have any contract. You go there, and I think if you put in, what is it, Ting/Joe?
It's rogan.ting.com. If you go to rogan.ting.com, you first of all, you save $50 off of any of these really sweet Android phones. They have the Note as well, which is that Samsung fucking giant tablet phone.
That's the most huge.
It's so ridiculous. It's so awesome, though. I must possess it.
It's like walking around with an iPad in your pocket.
When I look at it, I get envy because people at shows, they come and they take pictures with me after the shows, and so many of them have that Note, and I always go, ooh, I wish I had your phone.
Ooh.
I want your phone. I've got phone envy.
I know.
But the Galaxy S3 is the phone envy. I'm fine with that. That one's fine. It doesn't really need to be any bigger. Right. But the iPhone, it leaves me lacking. I'm sad.
Do you remember we've had phone envy for so long, me and you? Like, you would have like the E715. We're like, oh my God, they just released the E815, like the Motorola, flip phone.
Those little stupid phones. But I took a great fucking picture with that phone. One of the greatest pictures I'd ever took in my life.
The hooker.
Yeah. We were working in downtown L.A., and it's not the downtown LA of today, which is what's that word? What's that word when they move into a neighborhood? Gentrify?
Oh, yeah. Black cloud.
Black cloud.
Or white
this,
cloud.
This woman was walking by, and she was eating a meatball sub, and she had a wig on, and she was an overweight African American hooker. And I looked at her, and she goes, "How you doing?" I go, "What's up, baby?" And she pulls a tit out as I'm taking a picture of her with a meatball sub in one hand and a tit in the other. And it's perfectly framed. Like, if I was a conspiracy theorist, I would say, well, this was fake. This is obviously Photoshop. This never really took place.
Did you print it out?
Perfectly framed. I think it's online, right? Can you find it? Pull it up.
I don't know if we can show that, though.
Oh, it's a woman's breast. It's not even pornographic.
The woman, it's disturbing looking.
Listen, you can see a male's breast. Why can't you see a woman's breast? You know what's fascinating? You can see Chaz Palminteri's breast. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
No.
Yes. Not Chaz Palminteri. Chaz Bono.
That's the
I get him confused. Yes.
Not the Sopranos.
The Bronx Tale.
I bet you can see
I bet you can see his as well. He's a man. No disrespect to Mr. Palminteri. It was a slip. I meant Chaz Bono, who used to be... Chastity Bono, aww, and then it's a famous daughter of Cher and got a sex change. Well, there was like these photos of her walking down the beach topless because now she's a man. Now she's got like a beard, so she's allowed to walk topless. So she's taking advantage of that. She's walking topless, and she's good. That's her. That's the girl. That's the lady. That is a real picture. Pull that shit up all the way. Ustream is with us.
No,
don't worry.
I can't.
Brad'll be fine with
no.
it. Don't do it, Brian.
Wait, I'll do that.
Just show them. Show them the meatball sub. Just the meatball sub in her hand. Come on. How does that happen? The photo's perfectly framed. Listen, you can Photoshop one. Make a copy of that. Make a copy of that and just put a little blurry over the nipple. How long? That only take you a second to do, right? Can you do that, Brian? Fucking silly bitch. The folks that are listening to this are not getting the full experience. But you could find what is the video? What had you Google it?
If you just type black hooker Rogan,
there you go. That's my girl. The greatest picture I ever took, and I took it one of those stupid flip phones. So the phones that Ting has are a far superior. They're the best Android phones that you could buy.
Can you imagine the areolas on those phones?
They must be crazy. Yeah. It would be so crystal clear. Then people would really say that I faked it. It's an awesome company. They don't have contracts. They have really reasonable rates. And if you don't use all the minutes in your plan, they refund you the money in the next bill.
That's tits.
They knock your next bill down. It's like the best company. It's like they're ethical. They're not evil. It's possible to run a business and not be evil. It's possible to provide an excellent service, which, by the way, is off the Sprint backbone. They're on the Sprint backbone, so you're getting Sprint coverage. It's not like, you know, fucking Fred's cell phone service. It's like legit. It's a huge nationwide network that's really excellent, and it's CDMA, which I prefer to GSM. GSM is AT&T. I have both, but AT&T works better overseas. Most people accept it overseas, but CDMA, I find like Verizon and Sprint, I find it just seems to be a better coverage. That's just where we live. Rogan.ting.com. Go there, save yourself $50, you dirty fucks.
You know that video game's pretty badass that I've been playing?
Yes, Kerosene Games. This is our last sponsor. Bladeslinger is this game that Kerosene Games, we want to make sure, again, as we said, that anything we get involved with is something that, you know, we would actually use, something that we would actually enjoy, and something that is coming from, a really good place. There's a lot of video games that they make for the iPad that really they're not really iPad games. They're like PC games that they port over to it, and they kind of suck. A lot of them suck. The way that this company... Kerosene Games, that makes Bladeslinger, has done it. They've made this game from the ground up for iPads and iPhones. So it's very intuitive touch controls. And with the ability that they have, these processors for these iPads now and phones, that was always like an issue with computer games back in the day. Was like, could your video card handle it? You know, like really like stunning graphics. You remember like playing Quake and those games when video cards were first coming out and people would have like dual SLI. Yes. Where they would have two video cards just to power the graphics. Well, these fucking iPads are so powerful now. I mean, you could see really amazing graphics on an iPad. It's really nuts. We live in strange times.
Did you just say an iFag?
iFag. I didn't say that. You did. I just repeated you. iPad, goddammit. Slip of the tongue. The game is called Bladeslinger. This is their first game. It will be out for the Android operating system in January or February, and it will probably only work on like the more advanced Android phones, like the newer, because Android, you know, they have like ice cream. What is it? Ice Cream Sundae or something like that? They have a bunch of like weird names for their operating systems. So they constantly. So as long as you have like the latest shit, it'll probably work if it's a good one. But again, the game is Bladeslinger. It's a fucking badass game. It's only $2.99, which
I think I think it's on sale right now.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's on sale for 99 cents.
Yeah, so that I think the end of the year, you should totally buy it now. It's 99 cents. What the fuck is, you know, if you can give a homeless person a dollar, you can buy a game.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's amazing. I didn't know that. I didn't even think about it that way.
You know?
Like a homeless guy on a dollar.
Yeah. Like, this is something that you will enjoy, and that homeless guy is just going to be like, ooh, dollar.
Yes, exactly. And this guy, this game, what the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know.
If you go to kerosenegames.com/bladeslinger, right. There's a really cool preview. We could actually show it here, and it'll look good, as opposed to at my stupid studio, which has shit internet bandwidth. I have a new studio, but the internet sucks a fat one. So we're here.
Oh, dear.
That's why we're here. Oh,
where's
dear.
Where's the new studio?
It's in Points Unknown.
Understood.
You can't tell the people on the internet where the fuck your studio is.
The
where's the phone number, man? I just want to call and talk to you. Anyway, go there. Go check it out. Go fuck yourself. Okay. Honey, honey's here. God damn it.
Do you want to look at a little video of that Blade singer?
Sure. Put it on.
Oh, wait. Never mind. There's an advertisement.
An advertisement first? Come on,
30-second advertisement for
whoever. Game. Kerosene Games, listen to me. Take that fucking ad off.
I don't
okay,
think
you're selling a video game, and you're gonna have an ad at the front of it. They're fucking you, man.
All right,
they're ruining your click through rates.
Okay, all right. This doesn't have one. Here we go.
Okay.
So this is the game graphics, actually, which looks like to me almost like an Xbox and a PS3.
Deserted. He sensed his days of war may not be
the home. That's not the real narrator.
No, that's not the narrator. This is a 4-year-old kid.
One of the things we want to call attention to here.
Okay, so this is just
this is just like one of those where it's a preview of the game. It's
yeah,
not like a
but
like
it's,
a trailer or anything.
Yeah. It's but it's cool. You use your iPad to like swipe and you know do certain signs when you're attacking and stuff like that, but the graphics are amazing. It's a fun game and I think they're going to be adding on to it because it's a game that I see has like a good future where they can just add new maps and stuff like that because they already have the groundwork down. So
powerful Bladeslinger.
Yeah,
go check it out. Like I said, it's a dollar now. That's the latest. So they're very happy with it. It's for until December 29th or so, and then it'll return to its normal price. So right
for
now,
your cell phone?
Get it for a buck. You are not paying attention at all.
This is
we're selling people. We're selling souls.
Yeah,
souls $1.
This is
some seriously high technology.
Yeah. Honey, honey is here. Brian, cue the music. Let's get the party started. That was probably a long ass series of commercials. People are annoyed with this.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
Our commercials are long, they're wordy, but we get them out of the way. And then once they're done, they're done.
But shorter than Tom Segura and Christina Pajitsky's podcast.
They have longer commercials than us?
Yeah, every time I count to where they actually start the show, it's like 26 minutes in.
They do it the same style where they just start talking and then they sort of fuck around and go off on tangents.
And then go back to tour dates and stuff.
Yeah. Well,
it's weird.
That's how we started it.
Yeah.
It's a good way to do it, though, I think. You know, they keep trying to pressure me to put commercials inside of podcasts, and I keep telling them to go fuck themselves.
You mean candidly and casually?
No, they bring it up. You know, they say, we would like you to start introducing commercials in the middle of the podcast, and they can be pre-recorded, and we'll stick them in afterwards. But that seems sleazy, and it seems like it interrupts the flow of the conversation, right?
Hmm. Yeah, get down with that.
You guys hammered yet?
Working on it.
I feel warm.
Working on it.
I feel pretty
warm.
Good. Yeah.
I'm getting toasty.
Maker's Mark.
Yeah, we're drinking Maker's Mark.
Shout out
to my boy Justin. Loves this shit.
Hey, Justin.
My friend Justin, every time we go out, he orders this shit. Maker's and Coke.
Why put the Coke in it, though? Why not just go right with the Maker's?
Because he's 7 feet tall and he does whatever the fuck he wants.
That's fine.
Trust me.
I would still shoot him straight.
Justin wants to put Coke in his Maker's. You just let him.
Wow.
He's the biggest human I know.
I like Coke Zero.
I like a slow mover.
Well, I mean, you might be able to outrun him. It might be. But goddamn, when he caught you, you'd be in fucking lots of trouble.
Oh, boy.
He's a true... I have a friend who's a true giant. Really sweetheart of a guy.
This is the dude?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a true giant. He's enormous.
Does he talk like me?
Yeah, he talks like a normal guy, but he's just a huge fucking guy. You know?
Wow.
That's funny how people are, like, just not created equal. You know? There's dudes like that.
There's a whole our tour manager is 6'7", and he talks about that a lot. He's like, it's really difficult. You know, you go to, like, when we're on tour, you're at the Holiday, and he's like, and the shower only comes up to my chest between my nipples. Like, you know, it's a whole, he's big and tall. You know what I mean? He can never find pants that fit him, you know, the way he'd like to represent pants.
I was watching TV today, and there was a fight from 2009 with this guy, Semi Schilt. Semi Schilt used to be the K-1 Grand Prix champion. I think he's won it at least 3, if not 4 times. He's 6'11".
Oh, my God.
6'11", 300 pounds. And it's just like, good luck. Go fight that guy. He's a fucking legit giant. I mean, he really is a giant.
Yeah, but isn't, like, small and mighty, though? Like, what about that guy? Who's like, you know.
Not once the big guys learn how to fight.
Okay.
Once the big guys learn how to fight, too. The idea is that the small man with skill can overcome the big man who has no skill. I still maintain that's most of the time that's accurate, but a big man with skill is a fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah, but aren't the big ones like the stupid ones?
You would like to think that. Everybody would like to think the good-looking guys
are
stupid,
kidding.
Too.
I'm kidding.
Well, good-looking women, a lot of people would like to think they're stupid. Nobody wants to think there's a girl who's way hotter than you and also way smarter than you. That's too... Yeah. That's
depressing.
Yeah, it's depressing as fuck. Bitches. That bitch just got all aces. Uh-huh. You know, she was born with a bunch of aces.
Boobs.
Yeah. It's not fair. It's totally not fair. But that's life.
But then they have to deal with everybody trying to drag them down. That must be tough.
Yeah, I would guess. I would guess it would be really hard to be a hot chick to deal with a lot of cunty women. I've seen women get cunty with pretty girls for no reason. Like, someone will come up and, like, ask for directions or something like that. And I've seen, like, cunty women just immediately going, do you know where you're going? Like, where, you know, how much do you know this area? You know, like, immediately, like, dismissive.
Like,
yeah, like that girl's stealing something from her by existing, by being in front of her. She's not a sister. She's not a fellow human to be. That's like someone who's taking away from your value by their very existence. You know, I knew a girl who got furious at a guy because he brought a really hot girl to her wedding, and everybody was paying attention to the girl.
What?
And so, yeah, she literally said, you know, she was, like, yelling at him, why the fuck did you bring that bitch to my wedding? And me and the girl was, like, a sweetheart. She's a very nice girl. Didn't do anything to anybody, but just because she was there. She dressed nice, and she was apparently very beautiful. And the bride was furious. Like, it took away from her big day, and she kept saying, that fucking bitch, she took away from my big day. Isn't that amazing?
God, the whole wedding thing fucking freaks me out. That pressure of it needing to be this huge, monumental thing.
She's a crazy bitch. That guy should get a divorce immediately. Do not
What's
pass
her name?
Go. I have no
Where
idea.
Does she live?
He told me the whole story. My buddy told me the whole story. I was not there, but it was a fascinating story. It's like animals, you know? I was talking about, I've had female dogs. Female dogs do not like other female dogs. They just don't like each other.
The dog world is fascinating.
They will fight to the death.
If we were able to communicate with each other like dogs were, we would just be peeing on each other all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and humping in public on the regular.
And trying to figure out who the alpha is, who gets to breed.
It's amazing.
Who gets the liver?
Ben's dog. Ben is a dog named Larry Bird.
That's awesome.
And Larry Bird's
sweet. I got pictures.
Is great. He's fucking awesome.
That's
very
awesome.
Very, you know, he's really zen.
The dog is.
He is. Yeah. He doesn't really bark at all. He just, like, he wants to be scratched on the head. Our very good friend of a friend found him on the freeway in Nashville, and when we moved to town, Ben's been saying he wanted a dog, and. My buddy posted an ad on Facebook and said, hey, we have this dog. We're looking for a good home. And he's got very long legs and kind of an awkward face. So the name Larry Bird came to mind.
That's funny. What kind of dog is he?
I think he's an Australian Shepherd.
Ah, okay. I know what those
look like. Mid-size, probably 45 pounds.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's zen or if he's just real stressed out all the time and shutting down. Like,
he gets very stressed when Ben leaves.
Yeah, I bet. Well, you know, it's like all of a sudden he's got something good. You know, he's got someone who cares for him and loves him. I had a female like that. I had a female that I adopted. And she was eating out of garbages when I got her. She was all covered in mange. And I took her in and started feeding her and taking care of her. But she would have massive anxiety when I would leave. She wouldn't know what to do. She would freak out because she didn't think I was coming back, you know. When you get down to that point, like, she was, like, starving to death when I found her, like, literally in downtown LA. She was just eating out of garbage cans.
You got to think, dogs, they have access to so much joy. Those things are so happy sometimes. So
if you get lucky.
Just as bummed out, too.
Well, it's it's like humans, too. It's like if you get lucky, you could grow up in a really awesome household where your mom and dad love you and they want to see you all the time. And you know, you're growing up with people that have sort of a sense of perspective and they can educate you on the ways of the world and constantly give you love. Or you could grow up with a crazy fucking shithead mom and a nutty fucking violent abusive drug addict dad, and you're fucked. You're just fucked. You were born into the wrong spot, and there's nothing you did, and your entire potential completely changes because of that. Your entire way of absorbing the world, of even just dealing with reality, is compromised by this situation that you were born into with no effort of your own, no karma behind it, no nothing. You just were there. I mean, unless you believe in reincarnation, you know, unless you believe in, you know, there's no fucking evidence to support any of that. But the idea that people are responsible, especially like babies are responsible for terrible things that happened to them because of things that they did in a past life, I'd have to say, Jesus fucking Christ, how cunty is the universe? You know, how about you let a baby slide, you know? Don't punish it from some shit that some other entity had done in a past life. It's so ridiculous. It's just, It's a super sad aspect of this world. Your life could be awesome or it could be shit, and it's just dependent on who gives birth to you and where you are, you know?
Man.
Yeah, I mean, we're lucky as fuck.
Well, I'm crying.
Lucky as fuck. You and I, all of us here, and to live in America, to live in 2012 in America with fucking medicine and doctors and the internet and all this shit. You know?
Well, it's interesting how our challenges change as you're right. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of it's weird. I you know, one of my best friends in Ohio, he got really mad about his cell phone bill. He found out that since, like, I don't know, 2007 or something, he paid T-Mobile $5,000, which is, I think, normal if you were to add that up. And he was like, this is ridiculous. He's like, I want to spend my money on other things. So he stopped using a cell phone for 3 months. He didn't have a cell phone. He used a landline or would communicate through email, and he was telling me how difficult it was, but how, like, incredibly liberating, you know. And not that that's a problem. I'm kind of segueing into just, like, you're talking about how we've evolved, and, like, technology makes everything so easy. Everything is, like, you could take care of things at your house right now with your cell phone because you have robots there. You know.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting. You know, I've always been fascinated with people who could who were incredibly resourceful with nature, like Boy Scouts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like how, like, just to go home and make a fire right now, like, yeah, you know, a little bit of,
rubbing sticks together.
I whittled myself a coffee table, you know, like, and I find that to be incredibly fascinating. And really, actually, in some spare time, would like to learn a few tips if anybody has any.
You want
to
be like a subsistence?
I want to know how to make my own bow and arrows. And
really?
Hunt.
Have you ever watched any of those shows, like Alaska shows, where they, like, these people are like homesteaders out there, and they gather all their food within the summer months, and then they fucking freeze their dicks off for like eight months out of the year.
No, I haven't seen that.
Amazing. Yeah. If you're into that, if you're like, you're talking about, like, you know, like people like living off the land and like trying to survive out there, it is a fucking fascinating
show. It's crazy.
And this is generations after generations. But there's like these people just live like that.
There's this level of awareness and oneness with nature that I think is so cool. Like,
oh, yeah.
When you can, you know, something, you know, you're just like, you're in the earth. And so, you know, obviously I don't really
have
too much experience with that. I know I'm really good at fishing. I like to fish.
Do you? Are you good? Really?
Yeah. I'm good at it. I know how to catch them.
You like the shit. Yeah. You like ready for like Bass Pro Masters?
I can
tournaments
hang.
And shit.
Not really, but
Bass Masters.
No, I do like to fish, though.
Fishermen make a fuckload of money. Did you know that? Like, professional fishermen?
Yeah.
Like, you can make a great living if you're, like, a famous fisherman.
Yeah.
How hilarious is that? This famous fisherman.
I think we should try. You want to try with me?
Start entering the tournaments. I mean, you're in Nashville. There's, like, some great bass fishing down in that area.
It's
Tennessee.
It's competition, though.
I think the world record's from the South.
That's the same thing, though, that whole oneness. Like, that just becomes part of their, you know, their receptive faculties, as they know the fucking water. They know about the fish.
Yeah.
You know what's going on. They know they don't like that kind of tackle. Right. That lure doesn't work.
Yeah, it becomes, you know, really, you have really this connection with this animal that you're going after, trying to figure out how to keep pulling them out of their world by tricking them with with fake fish. You know, what a ruthless fucking game fishing is. You throw out this impossibly beautiful, wiggling, sparkly thing that makes some poor fish just want to go bite it. And he he bites it and gets literally pulled out of the dimension he exists in another dimension that he can't survive in. He can't move. He can't fly around in it like he can in the water. Like, all of a sudden, he's in air. And like, what the fuck is going on? And if you pull them, right, and if it's deep enough water, they'll die just from the pressure, just from going through the deep, deep, deep water to the surface. They'll be like, like, they can't even handle it. Like, what are we doing out here? We're supposed to be at, like, 700 feet of water. And just yank those fuckers up to the surface. They're just like,
You're really ruining it for me now. there goes my fishing boner. Thanks.
No, listen, fishing is awesome. I love fishing, but it's got to be a real freak out for that poor barracuda. You know, bites down on your lure.
Then barracudas all aren't poor.
They're not. They're rich.
I don't know.
Are they like?
Yeah, they're definitely a top shelf fish. I think they're. I don't think they're tropical.
I don't think people eat them that much.
There's I've that had one song. It,
yeah,
they're famous.
The heart song. Yeah. Did you ever like? Did you like?
No
heart
one was like
when
you know,
were a kid.
What's
did
that?
You like that band Heart? Did you sing that song Barracuda? They had a bunch of great songs.
I got some stuff. I mean, they were your fishing crazy boner, on you. By the way.
I like Heart, and yes, what do you have for me, Brian Redband? Fucking bring that shit.
Black power fishing boner. Shit.
Whatever. Pill. I just want to know. No disrespect to the Viagra pills and what have you, but what happened to the old fashioned boners? I mean, just good old fashioned boner.
Well, SSRIs killed a lot of them.
Okay.
A lot of people on antidepressants have a huge problem getting wood.
Okay.
I have normal boners, but it's nice to have like that 5-hour boner when you just want to have like a vacation.
Super boner.
Like
Brian boner. Is just an abuser.
A vacation boner?
Yeah. Once in a while, you're like, all right, I'll so take just, care of you.
You're just trying to challenge yourself, really?
Yeah. I want to see like how much boner I can have.
Olympic boner style? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's
like marathon boner sex.
But here's my question. Your partner, I mean, are they having sex for 8 hours? Because that sounds kind of painful.
Well, he mostly sleeps.
He mostly sleeps. Yeah, Brian just fucks dudes that are unconscious.
Well played.
That's Brian's thing. Just gives them GHB.
Called,
he takes Viagra.
Called bro rape.
Bro rape.
You got to be careful about that. You can't
even
use that.
It's real.
If you joke about rape, you support rape. Did you know that?
Yeah. Stop.
Careful. Careful.
You know,
one of the things I've been noticed. I posted this on Twitter about a lot of lefties.
So uncomfortable.
There's a funny thing lately where hardcore lefties, you know, what they like to call themselves progressives, they will criticize stereotypical Muslims in television and film. Like I saw these progressives that were criticizing Homeland. And what they're saying is that all of the Muslim characters are cartoonish. You know, and it's like, I find it offensive. They're like finding it offensive. But it's hilarious that they would never do that with cartoonish Christians. Like, if there was like, a TV show and all the Christians had God hates fags posters and were walking around, you would never hear progressives bitching about fundamentalist Christians that are represented in a cartoonish way. But fundamentalist Muslims, it's like, oh, we have to be aware and conscious, and we have to be like really sensitive to like these foreign people and their ideas. Like wackadoos that are brown, like you have to be like really kind to them and show them kind. But wackadoos that are white and look too much like your relatives, like fuck them.
Yeah.
Fuck the Christians. Fuck them. And let them be as cartoonish as possible. But you have to be super sensitive about the way people who, you know, Islam, it's not all terrorists are not Islam. As if one ideology makes any more sense than another ideology. If any of these fucking goofy cults make any sense, any of them. But progressives, they don't want to criticize Islam lately. It's like these cartoonish Muslim characters, okay? That's not how I feel about culture.
Well, isn't that just as much a cult as any of the other ones?
Being progressive is a cult, for sure. The hardcore lefty stance is a cult. I mean, there's shit that fits in and doesn't fit in. It's like when it comes to gun control and these horrible fucking mass shootings that have been going on lately. You know, everybody's answer is always gun control from the left. And everybody from the right is they need to arm people to make sure that this can't happen because you're not going into an unarmed area. And that if people had guns of their own, they would know, you know, that they couldn't just do this. I mean, you know, it's a complex issue. So it's, but anyone from the left never recognizes that. It's always gun control. You fucking NRA people, are you happy? You know, you can fucking believe this shit. Why do you need a gun? Why do you find a new hobby? You don't need to hunt. Find a new hobby.
Well, it's really interesting to discuss this topic because we just moved to Nashville and that's a gun town. There's guns everywhere. And I have friends that carry concealed weapons. There's this one girl. She's
Where
like this
are you partying?
Super hot chick, and she's always got a little pistol in her purse.
Way.
Like, no big deal.
Good for her.
But I think that who's something that? That's, you know, maybe I'll tell you at a later date. I think that, you know, it's a really interesting feeling to be in a town, in a community with that. And where I see it is that, like, we've heard all these stories of, like, don't worry, mom, dad, I'm safe. But, you know, like our friend, like friends of friends getting shot, people being, you know, shot several, like just all these different stories. And, you know, there's a lot of crime, everywhere, but you know, they had this, turn your gun in day to like try and reduce the firearm population. Uh-huh. But like at the end of the day, like I'm not pro gun or anti gun. I don't even know what I am, but I'm just like, I was thinking about it and I'm like, the bad guys aren't going to turn their guns in, you know, and you know, it's a noble cause to try and alleviate violence of any kind. But at the same time, it's like they're already there, and I just don't see how they could go away. But I don't. I'm not making fuck. That's like a strong statement.
No, well, you're making a logical statement, because the real issue is not whether or not we change the laws. It's whether or not people are willing to break those laws. And the majority of crimes, violent crimes with guns, I believe in this country, are committed with illegal guns. So it's already this weird situation. The kid who was in possession of these guns, these were his mother's guns. I mean, you talk about gun control. He violated a bunch of different laws before he ever left the house by just handling these guns and loading them and taking them out of there. They weren't his to fuck with. So he was violating laws, and then the question is, why do these things even exist? Why does someone need an assault rifle? Those are legitimate questions. Those are questions that we really should consider. There's no doubt about it. But the idea that we need to take all guns away, like, it's like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, if people wanted to, look what Timothy McVeigh did with a truck and some fertilizer. People want to, they can kill people in a bunch of different ways with a bunch of different shit that you can get, and there's plans for it on the internet. It's amazing, we really stop and think about it, how many people there are, that there's 300 million of us, at least, plus Mexicans, in this country, and we only have, you know, this many crazy people running around shooting people. It's really kind of shocking. It's amazingly good, considering the numbers. It's just when something does happen, it's so horrible and so heart-wrenching, and it fucks with our heads. The real statistics, though, if you think about how many people actually have guns and how many people are running around shooting people, it's amazing. It's amazing how behaved everybody is, for the most part. If you just look at the actual numbers of human beings, this is a crazy time to be alive. There's 300 million people in this continent driving around in cars, getting stuck in traffic, and the amount of people that actually shoot people is relatively small.
But when you compare it to other countries with stricter gun control laws, you see those numbers drop so
it's
much.
True.
So that's a hard
comparison. But the issue is they've already had that. It's like the question of how do you take the guns. I mean, you'd have to go door to door. You'd have to storm houses. You know, it's like, how would you eradicate the guns from our neighborhood the way they have in England? In England, they never really had it. So when you see like low UK gun violence rates, it's like, yeah, they never really had the guns. Even the cops don't have them. You know, they have them in case of extreme situations like American Werewolf in London. Uh-huh. When the wolf gets out, that's when they bust out the guns. You can't fuck with a werewolf when you got a billy club. You know, silly bitch.
But you need a silver bullet anyway. So it's
Look, I think there's arguments on both sides. There's definitely arguments on both sides. But you know what the other argument is? The unsung discussion is, what was this kid on? What was going on with his head? Was he medicated? Was he on who knows what from the time he was a child? Do you know how many fucking kids get put on Ritalin? Do you know how many fucking kids get put on antidepressants at like a young age? We live in strange times of just manipulating with human neurochemistry, and especially when you're mixing things, which people do. They'll take illegal drugs with legal drugs, and it's a psychotic combination. you know, the Zoloft and cocaine. It's like, it's famous for people going fucking berserk on it.
Oh, I'm gonna have to try that. Just kidding.
It's interesting. We need to know what was wrong with this kid. Whether he had a mental illness, whether he was medicated. There was obviously something fucking really wrong with him. Just to be able to do that, just to be able to do physically what he did and shoot kids. There's got to be something way wrong with his wiring.
I was thinking about this the other day about like all these mass shootings and all the people responsible for them, and you know, I wonder if there were to be. And I mean, maybe they're already doing this and I'm foolish. I don't know. But if you were to, you know, dissect their brains and literally if there was like some sort of similar common thread of an excess of chemical or something, or
like Hitler.
What about Hitler?
Finding out the bad, you know, like saying that there was a human race, like there's a right way to have a brain and you know what I mean? Like you have to be blonde, blue eyes, you know, and anyone else, you know. So you're saying find like a common trait.
I was like, let him talk himself out. I don't know what he's saying, and I was like, I can't tell if I'm going to laugh or be sincere. Finding a common trait
of somebody that's fucked up in their head and putting them aside.
We need to get you
room.
Back on the Provigil, son.
Give me some.
You need to get yourself a good doctor.
This is such a difficult thing to talk about because it's a...
It's horrific. It's horrific.
Because it's still... Everybody's... You know, it's so painful. And yeah. I think that at the end of the day, there isn't anything that we're going to find out or be able to fix it, whether it's gun control or anything other than trying to be, as a community, more aware of each other. You know, we're talking about all these things about like at your fingertips and like we're, you know, we've got cell phones that do everything for us and nobody, like, I think people stop paying attention to things like just the most rudimentary level of human existence and communication of just like really seeing someone and being in touch with them. Mm-hmm. And I think some people get isolated and more isolated and I don't fucking know, you know, I'll only speak for myself, you know.
There's a lot of us, and the problem is we can't be looking out for everybody around us when we're not even in contact with them. We live in these communities where, you know, there's a guy who lives right down the street from you, he's two houses down, you wouldn't be able to pick him out in a lineup.
Yeah.
That's me. I don't fucking know all my neighbors. You know, I live in a community of people that are basically strangers, you know, and they're strangers to their community, and that's not how it used to be. There's something that happened to us when we invented automobiles and mass transit and the ability to move along great distances is we don't live and work close. We don't have the same sort of community that people did before they had cars, and that's sort of how human beings were invented, or rather, how human beings developed. We developed to grow up in these communities, tribes, where we all stuck together, we all hunted together, we farmed together, we gathered together, we raised each other's children, and then someone figured out cars, and it just stopped. They just started like, let's live in the fucking east side and let's drive up cross town. I want to live in the suburbs. I'd love to have a house in the mountains. And then everybody was able to just go wherever the fuck they wanted to. And then they would meet for work or go over each other's houses. But the sense of community got further and further apart. Like, I've had this conversation with some of my friends. I'm like, why don't we all, like, live in the same neighborhood, man? You know, why don't we do that? Wouldn't that be awesome if you lived across the street from me? Like, can't we make that happen? Like, let's, like, live. Let's find a place.
We'd be trying to play basketball with you all the time.
That would be fun. But, I mean, like, wouldn't it be amazing if you could, like, literally live in a community of all of your friends? I don't know anybody who does that. Except, like, there's these guys, this mixed martial arts guys in Sacramento, Uriah Faber and all of his friends. They got a situation where they bought a bunch of houses in the same cul-de-sac, I think, and they just all live next to each other, which is awesome. That's the way to do it.
I agree. I think that'd be really cool, but it's funny to talk about like tribal existence where many of us have come from. You know, I think we've all come from.
Yeah.
You know, the tribal existence was everybody worked together as, you know, woven into the same cloth, but everybody had like a job to do and an end to hold up.
Yeah.
And we're in a society where everyone's just an individual, you know, for the most part. And it's really interesting to think about if we were going to, you know, to try to have like a communal type thing again. I don't know.
Well, we would have to if we lost our ability to travel distances. That would really fuck a lot of people up. If something happened and society was thrown into chaos and we lost our ability to get oil and gas, and that's not that far outside the realm of possibility. Mm-hmm. You know, if we look at the face of the Earth, like when scientists start like going into the past and see some of the cataclysmic events that have happened, like, you know, that predate human beings, there's been some big ones, like a lot of them, like a whole shitload of them. And it's really possible that one could happen. And if it did happen, we would lose all electricity essentially forever. For the rest of your life, there'd be no more electricity because no one's going to be able to figure out how to fucking fix it without any real infrastructure available anymore. And you'd have a few people that were surviving by living off the land. You'd have a few people. I mean, that we could go back to that again, like that. One super volcano, one asteroid. There was an asteroid that just flew by, and the Chinese got these photographs of it. I retweeted it. It flies by every 4 years, and it's over a mile wide. It's a mile wide piece of rock that flies really close to us every year, or every 4 years. It's a mile and a half wide. Sorry, a mile and a half wide. What the fuck?
So basically, like, what's going to happen is times big. Friday, when the end of the world comes, and we've got some stragglers, which will clearly be the majority of the will turn. You know, I feel like this is a real hot spot for, you know,
survivors. People survivors. Stick to it.
Yep, that's right. So we're going to have to come up with a game plan of, you know, I'll bring the canned goods and...
Make sure the ratio is good, though. I feel like there's going to be a lot of dudes.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of sausage.
Going to have to bring a lot of booze.
Big sausage factory.
Not many breedable females.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Some board games.
We have to be real careful. We have to really make sure we protect our genetics. You know, I mean, we really have the whole fate of the human race.
So now you're talking like Hitler, though.
Right? That's right. That's
Hitler
what I'm trying to
had
say.
A lot of good points. He was just crazy. If you had, like, I mean, look. If you had some real engineering of the human race, you would have to do some culling, right? It's like when you have a thorn or a rose bush and you have some fucking wacky branches, you got to trim them bitches. Mm-hmm. We accept that. We accept that scientifically. We accept that in the nature world, the world of animals and plants, but we don't accept it with people. We connect emotions to the most horrific and fucked up amongst us. And we don't even want to kill them. You know, we don't want to kill bad people. We don't want to prune them. We don't want to send them to the electric chair is barbaric. You know, it's lethal injections, horrific. We're no better than them. What are you doing, son?
Sorry. I don't know why this just what are you started doing? Playing.
Watching cowboy porn?
No. The fuck was I was that? Looking for that asteroid, and then an ad came up on this website.
Some dude just tweeted at us about
the last thing you ever want to
serial
do.
Killer expert learns he has the brain of a killer. I don't know. I probably shouldn't even talk about this right now.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a documentary. Yeah, it was a guy who found out that he passed all the tests for being a sociopath.
Oh, wow.
And or a psychopath, whichever one that is.
I was going to bring this up earlier, too. There's this article that says, I am Adam Lanza's mother. And it's about this woman, this woman is talking about her own son who has a lot of similarities between him and the shooter from this from Sandy Hook. And there's all these, my phone's kind of freezing here, but it's talking about her struggles with him and, you know, the diagnosis they're giving him, all the mood-altering drugs, and they just don't know how to handle a kid with this type of brain. And that's when it comes back to, we've been talking about this a lot, just like, how do you approach the mental health aspect of this? And it's such an inexact science. It's like, how do you treat these kids if you don't really know what's going on, if the treatment is making them worse or better? And that's kind of the gray area that we're stuck in, it seems like.
Right. Yeah, and we also don't understand why a person develops that way. What makes a person a sociopath? What makes a person a psychopath? Is it nature? Is it nurture? You know, everyone's different. There's different. There's a gradient level. I mean, there's like a spectrum of you know different. There's people that are just a little crazy. They're okay, but they're just a little crazy. And then there's people that literally don't see reality the way we all agree it looks.
Right.
There's people that you see them sitting on the side of the road, and they're talking to themselves, and they're covered in dirt, and they haven't washed in a year, and they're nodding back and forth and having conversations like, okay, what's that guy seeing? What's going on? I mean, he's having a fucking full-blown conversation with people that aren't even there. Mm-hmm. What's going on? What's going on there? And we don't exactly know. We know how to give him some drugs and make him not do that. And you know, we know there's something wrong with his firing mechanism and his fucking noodle. But we don't exactly know what that guy's seeing. You know, he could tell us what he'd be. He might be lying. Who knows? He might be seeing some shit that he doesn't even like to talk about. He might be seeing dragons
or
shit.
I think if you were to take, you know, a considerable amount of mushrooms, then you would know what he was seeing.
I doubt it.
I say we try it.
Yeah, I see your point.
Just saying.
The last thing you want to do is get locked into a homeless dude's way of thinking.
Yeah, no,
you
yeah.
become him.
I think I take it back.
Can you imagine? People pulling their brains out on LSD. Like that guy from Pink Floyd, that they wrote that song, Shine On You Crazy Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's apparently about a dude who lost his mind on some LSD. You could fuck up. You could fuck up and go deep. And Suzanne just got nervous and reached for the marker.
Oh, no, that's not nervous. That's just straight... I'm accessing my pleasure energy.
Your pleasure energy.
How does that sound?
The booze energy, that's the pleasure energy?
I do love it. Everything's love fine, it. Guys. Don't worry. It's, you know.
Do you find
there's Monday.
A lot of resistance to you talking about loving it? That people are like, hey, you know, maybe
you know what?
Problem.
Actually, I found this is really funny. We talk about booze all the time because we're
right.
boozers.
Right.
I'm not an alcoholic, but I love bourbon. You know, I don't drink bourbon every day.
Right.
But, you know, I talk about it because, you know, I'm comfortable that way. And we've had a few emails here and there. Some dude was like, I saw you at your show when you were on tour and you just looked so tired. And look, drugs have torn into people here. And I was like, let's just go right over this again. You saw me on tour. And I look tired. That is a shocker, you know. And kind of just had this whole.
In a van
but it was
a
very,
Wendy's
very. It was very sweet, and I'm not going to throw him under the bus, you know, to be concerned.
Right.
But it's you know.
Well, you know, from his point, there's a lot of people that think that the life of a showbiz person is just fucking drugs and barely keeping it together and stumbling onto stage
totally.
The night that you know.
But dude, I know. I mean, at the same time, I'm fully aware of that side. Like I.
It does exist.
It totally, and you know, I'm sure because
sure.
it's like
comics,
when you're on the road and you're just moving all the time and you're never in the same place. You're never in this, like you're fucking lonely. You know, there's just so much going on, like drinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there's a real comfort in repetition. Too,
oh yeah,
you know, because you're in a different club every night, but there's always
and everybody wants to party with
club.
You.
Yes,
but at the same time, I really, I don't. I don't like I love to drink, but I don't like being wasted. I don't like not being in control, and I don't like losing my voice. So there's like a balance, you know, and I feel really lucky that I have a partner who is, you know, we do this together. Like if one of us was slipping, there'd you know, be a lot to, you know, handle, but we're pretty.
We're gonna drag each other.
Well, we're probably slipping down together.
Yeah, it's just like a slow erosion.
It's nice that you can count on each other. It's
I remember
nice
one
that
time,
you both keep your shit together.
I remember one time when we were really when we first started touring together. Ben got really drunk, and he had really long hair.
There we go.
And I held his hair while he puked.
Oh,
and
that's sweet.
I tied it in a ponytail, so he looked like a. Like a yoga instructor.
That's
and then
sweet.
Like probably like a few days later I got a little drunk and I remember like I passed out with like my boots on and I remember like
so I let a whole squad of these guys from the show in just went to town on her.
Yeah, that's really funny.
I think you just contributed to rape culture.
I know. So what do you
sure.
I was going to say I'm going to call you out.
Really, Joe? Really?
Oh my god!
It's cool that you guys can count on each other. That you know that you're both in it to you know to do the right shit. You know to get it done. That you know you're both in it to make great music. You know it's like a lot of bands have an issue. Like there's like five guys. And
that, wow, that
girl.
Is a that is
that's
a large
amazing
tata.
Picture. Come on, that is the picture, and that you can
that
see
looks
it. Close.
Like it weighs like
we
five
just,
pounds.
We had to block out the nipple because apparently it almost sunk CBS when Janet Jackson whipped one out. Who knows what it could do to Ustream? But this lady with her tit out. I did not ask her to do this. Okay, this was the universe giving me a gift.
Did it turn you on?
No. But
sure
yes and no.
Are you
don't
sure it wasn't
lie.
CeeLo Green the whole time?
Yes and no. It did not turn me on. It did not turn me on sexually, but it did turn me on socially because I knew I was going to post this online and people were going to go bananas. I was very excited. I was like, I have to show people. This is going to give them great joy.
I think this is the part where he started to lose his mind.
Yeah.
I remember that I lost my mind. Joe Rogan came out and whipped out my titty.
Brian, do you think she's alive now? Because that was like 2005. If you had a guess, do you think that woman's alive?
Like, that well, if she was eating meatball subs every day, I'm sure there's some
Italians
cholesterol
live forever.
Issues. Do they?
Amazed.
Thank God.
Those motherfuckers, they live forever.
That's good to know.
But that was a real moment for
Thanks,
me.
Thanks, Dad.
It was a great, great moment for me.
I wish you had that on video, though. That would
be awesome. It would be awesome.
HD Galaxy S3 video.
Yeah. But then she'd probably sue me. I wonder if she knows that picture's out there.
Oh, no. Let's look at it
again. I wonder if someone's like, girl, do you know that your picture's online and your titties out and you got a meatball sub in your hand? That ain't even me. My wig don't look nothing like that. That is not me. That is not me, girl. I'm telling you.
That was a veggie sandwich.
Girl, do you know that there's pictures of you? You got your titty out and a meatball sub in your hand. And bitch, you look fat. You look like Bigfoot.
He's an earthquake cook.
Look at that gut. Oh, that's a gut of a person who doesn't give a fuck. She doesn't give a fuck.
I think that's just a dick.
No. That's not a dick. That's a real tit, bro. Look at that. You can't make a fake tit like that on a man. Fake tits on men always look odd, and the nipples are never big enough, and you know that nipple's the correct size. That's the thing about trannies. Oh, by the way, that's another thing.
Tell us what you know about trannies, Joe.
People are
please.
Transphobic. Did you know that, Brian? That's a new issue. Oh. Transphobia. Oh. A lot of the progressives are going after people that are transphobic if you're making any jokes about trannies.
Really?
Even saying trannies. Yeah.
Wow. Do they have a term? Joke what do you about, say then?
We need to be more sensitive.
I'm fascinated. Did we talk about Buck Angel the last time we were on here? I feel like we did.
We might not, but
talk about him all the time.
There's never enough talk about Buck Angel. There's never enough.
We did a show with him.
No, you didn't.
Yes, we did.
No, you didn't.
I'm telling you the truth. We were in Toronto.
Hell?
Toronto, Asia. I'm just kidding. It's in Canada, and we were.
Asia became a country.
Well, you confused the shit out of people. They were like, "Really? Is Toronto a country in Asia as well?"
It's not funny.
So anyway, you were up there with Buck. Is Buck Angel from Toronto?
Well, it was called Idea City, which is like TED Talks,
mm-hmm.
and it was a conference it was really incredible.
And you guys played music?
We did. Yeah, we were playing with our friend Adam Cohen. We were his band.
Oh.
So we weren't playing as Honey Honey, which was kind of cool because I felt like we were just a bunch of hired guns.
Oh, that's kind of fun, right?
Yeah, playing banjo, just to singing be a musician. Backup. It was fun. Oh, only cool. When I go back and watch the videos, I did not play well. I'm not proud of my playing, but I'm fucking working on it and I've gotten better. So, for the record. But anyway, we don't know
what good playing or bad playing is.
Steve Martin's good.
He's really good. Oh my God, he's so good. We got to see him in Nashville.
Serious?
Yeah.
Really entertaining guy.
But anyway, Buck Angel.
Buck
so
Angel.
So the conference that we were at was a 3-day conference, and the theme was women. And in all the facets of, like, it was going through scientific evolution and, you know, in society. And,
right.
Like, there was anywhere from Olympic gold medalists to doctors and psychiatrists and lawyers and an oceanographer, this incredible woman. Dr. Sylvia Earle, I love her. And then they had two different trannies, transvestites.
Yeah,
Buck Angel.
Don't be transphobia. You don't want to call them trannies. You can't call them trannies.
Dude, anymore. Man, just be you. I don't
You know you
shit.
Can't call people twinks anymore?
Why not?
Adam Cohen, the guy who's the head of Bravo, had
different
to apologize.
Adam Cohen.
Is that his name? The guy who's the head of Bravo. He made a twink joke. And he
I'd
had
like to
apologize.
See them try to stop me, Joe.
He had apologized to the twink neighborhood, the twink really? Community.
Look, dude, old Greg had a mangina. I support him. So Buck Angel.
You should explain to people who don't know what the fuck
okay,
we're
so
talking
Buck
about.
Angel Buck is Angel? A very famous transvestite.
Transsexual, excuse me.
Who's a woman, but is almost as jacked as Joe Rogan, and just a massive frame of a man, of a, you know, typical man, but actually is a woman, you know.
And does porn, right?
Mm-hmm. And does porn.
Holla.
And is married to a woman.
Holla.
But which one makes me wonder, does that make him a lesbian?
Well, he does porn with girls or guys?
With guys, which I did myself an unsolid, and I was like, oh, I'm curious, because I was really fascinated by Buck Angel's
Brian, you know
talk.
What to do.
So I went online, and I looked up some Buck Angel porn, and it really kind of messed me up, because I saw him in the elevator the next day, because he was, and I was just like, oh God! Like I'm so confused. I'm just confused.
So, did it feel like gay porn? What did you feel like?
Well,
you were watching?
it was just like it was a total shaved vag, and
right.
It was just so. It was like you see the top frame, which is all like
men.
He looks like a lumberjack.
Right.
He's got a goatee.
Right.
He's tatted up. He has huge muscles.
Right.
And he lives his life as a man. So I feel it's right to call him him because I think that's what he prefers. And he was great. Like, he was fucking cool. Like, right. I liked hanging out with him. But like, after I saw him getting pounded by a dude that looked just like him into his vagina, I was really confused.
Oh my God.
Oh, there's Buck on the right. That's Buck.
That is so crazy. Look at him.
He's fucking huge.
That really does look like a fucking dude. That's amazing.
Love this song.
I mean, that's a that's a big guy. That's crazy. That Brian added that song, by the way.
So did you really?
If you go look for that,
Brian,
yeah, he does that on everything.
Dude.
That son
good,
of a bitch.
Good job.
If you go to that actual video, you will not get that full experience. Someone needs to make that mix. But yeah, that looks like a big dude.
Yep. And he's there's obsessed. There's no D downstairs.
But does he have like a large clitoris at least?
Yes, but also really, really, really excited that he has this project going. I just want to reach out to you kids and let you know that I really had a tough time when I was a kid. And people didn't understand me. People didn't get that I felt like a guy. I got teased. I was in fights constantly. I was isolated. I didn't
Hammer
know
time.
Who to reach out to. I tried to commit suicide.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay, enough, Buck. You're bumming me out. I wanted to watch you suck some dicks. I didn't want to watch
God.
You cry. You're acting like a little bitch.
Oh, no.
Okay?
No.
All right, settle the fuck down. You're insensitive. This is more transphobia. You guys are cave people. I'm going to throw up my vegan pizza now.
Oh, that's fun. Anyway, moving on.
Listen, no, it takes boy. Every kind of people Excuse to me. Make this world go round. I think we learned that in the 70s. And Buck Angel, good on you. Go get that.
So then there was another transvestite that was transsexual. Excuse me. I'm mm-hmm. using the wrong word.
Yes. Vestite is just
you.
A pretender in a
Forgive
dress.
Forgive my ignorance.
Just a man in a dress.
Look, I live a sheltered life.
When you go and get your shit snipped, that's when you move into the wonderful world of people that made the commitment.
You know what I don't
Ben,
understand?
What was the name of the
Nina
other
story?
Nina Story.
But how did so? There's all these hormonal treatments that they have to undergo, and they have to get them every week or every month.
I think so.
How do you afford that?
It's a good question. I wonder if people's insurance companies pay for it.
Oh boy!
I bet they do.
No.
I bet. Let's find out. Okay, let's Google. I bet they do. I bet this is something that people have been trying. There's a lot of trans
what
genders
we
in this
we
country
to?
That are like really in a bad place, and they do not have the money to be happy.
And
if they were just switch their gender, and I think that as a community, we should be doing that for them.
Can we give this person a name? This character, I want to give.
This is my ultra progressive dick wad.
Give it. What's the name? Like,
I don't know. Curl it whatever you want.
Cammy Jill.
Shelly. It's a man named Shelly. What am I looking for? I'm looking for insurance companies
Buckstar
pay
vagina.
For sex change. Okay, insurance.
And look at Buckstar Vagina also.
If it is,
no.
guys, this could be good for everybody. I don't know why I said that.
What's wrong with you? Trying to keep up with our retardedness.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think I'm feeling warm.
Insurance company to pay for sex change. Bam. Mm. A Queens woman trapped for 34 years in a man's body wins a battle with her insurance company that balked at paying for her sex change operation. Wow. A Queens woman. I love how they... First of all, this is like really shitty journalism. Really shitty. New York Daily News. You don't say a Queens woman trapped in a man's body wins a battle with your insurance company. No. You say transsexual man who became a woman wins a battle with an insurance company. You don't say someone trapped in a man's body. How about maybe she's not? Maybe you hang out with her for a couple of weeks and go, oh, no, this is just someone who's fucking crazy. You know, isn't that possible? No. You've made this like huge judgment and painted this in a very biased way, although she does look like a chick.
There's got to be some people out there that have had actual sex changes and then tried to go back.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure people were bummed out. I remember this one. This guy got really bummed out because he couldn't come anymore. He realized that he was never going to come.
Well, that was what Nina Story talked about. Nina Story is a famous transsexual that was also at this conference, the aforementioned conference. And she had... undergone how many surgeries, Ben? It was like
she was addicted to plastic surgery. So she'd gone into like 60 times under the needle. And I had,
sure God.
But she did something that was really interesting. She chose to have her body be a canvas, and she documented the whole change. So she has videos, and there is, I think she
what's
has
her
a
name
book,
again?
Nina Story.
Nina Story. Oh my God, what have you done?
And it's funny because like you look at her, and she's just like this unbelievable, like, she has a figure like,
she's like Jessica Rabbit.
She looks like Jessica Rabbit, exactly. And it's interesting. It's not. It's just like, it's a fascinating visual. And she was really intense, and she was talking about her like her power and her energy, and she had this really.
I think this is the wrong person.
Voice.
There's another Nina Story. That's
is
a
it
singer.
Not Nina Story?
No, it's another chick.
Okay, then we're fucking.
It's just a chick who sings. You fucking ruined her life.
Oh, no.
A vocalist.
No.
Audio clips, lyrics, concert schedule, photos, a style incorporating pop,
also
blues, funk, alternative rock, jazz, and soul.
What
plus,
does it say about her penis?
I used to have a dick. Oh no! I think it's a different person. Yeah. I think it's a different person.
Did you find it? Did you find it?
Oh, Buck Angel. Oh, what is that?
Oh no!
He's
don't
showing
show
me
him
Buck
that.
Angel's enlarged clitoris.
Is it enlarged?
Yes, it's quite.
Oh come on! Oh
quite,
my God!
Quite funky. Okay, I'm gonna look up Nina's Story. God,
why did you have to do that? Don't you understand? It makes me uncomfortable.
Why?
It's just now, it makes
listen,
me so confused.
Don't be. Okay, don't be.
But that was what they both talked about, was that, and I don't blame them. They said that they didn't want to go with the full sexual transformation because the propensity of losing your orgasm was very high.
Mm.
And who wants to lose that?
Mm. But how are you going to look like a chick if you still have a dick? You know, I mean, if you want to really be a woman and pretend you're a woman, you're going to have to give something up. You're going to have to give up shooting
yeah,
loads.
Yeah, it's called a mangina.
You're going to have to give up shooting loads.
Never.
No? I think if a woman, you know, if a man wants to be considered a woman, you can't have a dick, okay? If you want us to call you she.
You know what's really funny, you guys? I was tempted to tell my parents to listen to this one. I was like, because they haven't listened to the previous two that we did here. And I was like, I bet today's going to be different because I feel like everything's cool.
Yeah,
talking
you know,
about education.
You know, really. Are you sure it's not Nina Arsenal?
That's it.
Maybe.
Nina Arsenal.
Maybe?
Nina Arsenal.
Dude, okay. Nina Story. We are sorry. Nina Story.
Nina Story. Sweetie.
It's Nina Arsenal.
Sweetie, we're so sorry. Sweetie,
I'm sure.
Please go support Nina Story on iTunes. Go buy her shit. We apologize. Nina Arsenault.
I'm sure
right,
your twinkle's doing great.
He does look like a crazy Barbie doll type thing. Ooh, Jesus Christ. The Silicone Diaries. Okay,
that's,
so I guess that's
mm-hmm.
his thing.
What's really amazing is the body language, because she still moved like a dude.
Oh, stop before
no, she
I puke.
Didn't.
She did.
I thought she was
came
very
out,
feminine.
She sat down like
well, she
this.
Said that because she said that when she would open her legs to you, that was her power energy coming at you.
Wow, power energy.
You know she what? Didn't sit like a. She that was like her like opening
I
up her
that.
Her metaphorical hole.
Oh, there's nothing metaphorical.
Oh my
about
goodness,
it.
Son! My goodness,
it's a real deal.
Joey Diaz and I were in Vegas once, and a transsexual showed us the package. With Mrs. Rogan was there as well, and she got a chance to look at it too. And Joey said it best. He said it looked like a bat with its mouth open.
Oh my God!
It looked like someone had slammed an apple core into someone's cock. It's like you don't need that anymore. Let me just scoop that bitch out, and then pull some ball skin over the hole and like stitch it. It looked like an empty hole where a dick used to be.
Oh wait, it was a.
Yeah, dude. And it's in the wrong spot,
job.
Too, by the by. Have you ever
was
noticed
like
that?
Wait,
yeah.
Was it fake, on the front?
Well, fake vaginas, they're more towards the front than the real vagina. You know, real vagina sort of tucked
well,
a little bit further back.
Well, do they feel
different? Real
vaginas like well, it tastes different. They're a lot more salty. The fake
ones.
Oh,
come on. Come on. What are you doing? You're fucking kidding me. You're kidding me. Wait, you can't show tits
you're a
on
criminal,
Ustream?
But you could show that. Well, that wasn't real. It just looked like it was something sexual. But it was just a dude with his hand being silly. Maybe you guys can fucking exercise the horrible feelings and thoughts in this room and sweep them out of here with a song. Can you do that? Because this conversation has gone dark.
Yeah, can we? It's been a dark one. This is a dark one.
Well, somehow or another, we
started
out
so well with dogs. It was like dog world, dogs, people weeing on each other, and it was okay.
I mean, that's a quick descent from there.
But we got the school shootings, I think, led us down a dark place. Then we tried to recover with some humor. And
transsexual talk.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted.
Crazy. Got a little crazy. Well, you guys brought up the Buck Cherry. So,
Buck. Also,
you guys are gross.
I'm so glad you said Buck Cherry.
Angel. I mean, no, Buck Angel. Do you guys know Buck Cherry?
I've seen him. Don't know him personally.
Okay. You don't have like a Buck Cherry story? I like that cocaine song. I've never even done cocaine, but that song's great.
It gets you gone.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He loves the cocaine. Yeah. He loves the cocaine.
You know what the new thing is liquid cocaine. I've seen a lot of people having this like liquid cocaine where it's in like a nose spray thing.
Really?
And you just spray it in your nose.
No way.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
And so it just looks like nasal
spray. So it looks
spray.
Like you're doing like you're just cleaning your nose
yeah,
out.
Yeah, you're just doing
nasal
spray.
Oh, my God.
And so these people just carry them around in their purse and you're just like... It's crazy.
Wow.
And I guess it's better also for you.
It's healthy.
It's like
it's
the
really
e-cigarette.
Clean and good for you. It's like the e-cigarette with a fucking Steven Dorff commercial.
The e-crack pipe.
Guys, let's take back our ability to do coke in public. Take back our freedom. Have you seen that commercial
with
Steven Dorff? My God. It possibly broke the douchebag scale. It might have broken the douchebag scale. Brian, pull it up, please, while we're waiting for beautiful Suzanne to urinate. This is a video. Blue cigarettes. Steven Dorff commercial. Blue cigarettes. It is easily the douchiest commercial in the history of the world. He's in black and white, okay, and he's smoking an e-cigarette. Take his freedom back, man.
Why was what's his thing? How come we know Steven
Dorff?
Dorff?
He was in Blade.
Okay. Was that his breakout role?
He did a lot of movies, but but he was in Blade. I mean, he was the fucking head vampire in Blade. From there on, it's been a downhill slide. And to the point where, no disrespect, and he's like, what about you, Fear Factor guy? Listen, we're just talking about reality here, son. Right. Don't get upset.
You're building.
I probably would have done that commercial too, that cigarette commercial, if they paid me enough.
Yeah.
Why the fuck is my
not?
Who knows? But once you see it, you're just like, whoa. Like, you got to be really unaware to write this, to ask someone to do it. Forget about him. Look at this. Wait till you see this.
I'm tired of being a walking...
Brian, stop with the music.
I'm tired of being a walking ashtray.
I'm tired
negative,
of
two. I'm tired of feeling guilty every time I want to light up. Negative, one. I'm tired of being a walking ashtray. Negative, two. I'm tired of feeling guilty every time I want to light up. I'm Steven Dorff. I've been a smoker for 20 years.
Hold on. Pause this. Suzanne must see this. You got to see this.
Oh,
hurry up and sit down.
No, I already know what
the Steven Dorff cigarette commercial. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't seen it. I've seen the ad.
It's the douchiest commercial. Oh, you broke your leg. It's the douchiest commercial in the history of the human race. I don't think there's been a douchier commercial. It's for Steven Dorff for electric cigarettes.
Negative, one.
Look at this.
I'm tired of being a walking ashtray. Negative, two. I'm tired of feeling guilty every time I want to light up. I'm Steven Dorff. I've been a smoker for 20 years. And I just found the smarter alternative. Blue e-cigs. Blue lets me enjoy smoking without it affecting the people around
me. He's in Malibu, by the way.
Look at this. Not tobacco smoke. That means no ash. And best of all, no offensive odor.
I
with Blue,
still would with
you could
the
smoke at a
out.
Basketball game if you want to. And how about not having to go outside every 10 minutes when you're in a bar with your friends? The point is, you can smoke Blue virtually anywhere.
Oh, that's so dumb. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like it.
We're all adults here.
It's really bad.
I like
time we take our freedom back.
It's time we take our freedom back. I like how he looks away. He paused away. Looked away. Stop it with the music, you fuck.
Okay.
Look at him. He's like looking cool, black and
that
white.
Is so
holds it out.
Unbelievable.
It broke the douchebag scale. It literally broke the douchebag scale. It's black and white for no fucking reason. There's no reason for that. It's an artistic choice, man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do this commercial, but I want it to be arty as fuck.
Oh no.
I want to look like Jack Kerouac.
I have to be honest with you. I smoke electronic cigarettes because
there's nothing wrong with smoking
them. But I don't like to tell anyone or do it in public because I'm embarrassed. But like I'm satisfied because I'm not smoking regular cigarettes because I love them, but they're bad for me.
Well, I don't think electronic cigarettes
but
are
that
good
was,
for you either.
That was one of the douchiest things I've ever seen in my life.
It's ridiculous.
And I feel like I need to take a time out.
No, listen. I support the idea of electric cigarettes. It's not the idea of electric cigarettes. I totally support it, but that approach, the cool guy on the beach,
it's not
in
cool.
Malibu,
that's the thing. Someone should get up there and be like, "Hey, I do this," but it's pretty fucking gay.
But the image that they're trying to portray is like this man who's like rugged with his like his stubble by the ocean with like a seaman's jacket on. You know, I mean, he has this fucking Jack Kerouac look to him. Like, he's going to go write the great American novel, and he's just so cool to be around. Goes to the local bar, and they all know him by name, you know?
Me and Buck Angel like to smoke cigarettes on the
meanwhile,
beach.
Meanwhile, yeah.
I'd like
comes
to
out that Buck Angel's pregnant with Stephen Dorff's love child.
That's another thing. What if Buck Angel got pregnant? I don't know.
I don't know if he can anymore.
Yeah.
They would come out, they would be dragons. That's where dragons come from. When societies figure out how to turn a man into a woman, then a guy fucks it, and then it gets pregnant, a dragon is born. I think I saw that in Game of Thrones.
Where is it?
Game of Thrones coming out in March. It's in.
Is
the,
it?
In the, yeah.
Ooh, you just made me excited about March.
I can't wait.
Now the end of the world can't come.
It's you know December what 21st. I honestly I'm gonna take back what I said before
about what
I think we're okay.
I think we're okay.
I really do.
We're okay. We're
but
just
the
crazy.
Aliens are coming.
Well, if, I think the aliens are already here.
I know.
If you get in an isolation tank, they'll talk to you.
Did you? There's that show. This is I fucking love this. I haven't seen it. I don't even know what's the show called on
what show
ABC the neighbors or something where it's about aliens and they come to life.
No,
they come to Earth.
That's what the dude from ER.
I'm not sure,
Noah
but all I know is my friend told me about it, and I forgive me if I misquote myself, mm-hmm. But the show is about these aliens that come to Earth, and they look like people, and they don't have like substantial up-to-date information on how to integrate themselves into the human society. They have this like sports almanac from 1985, so they all give themselves names like Jackie Joyner Kersee and like Larry Bird and
wow.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and it's like a 6-year-old white kid and his name's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I could be totally wrong. I've never seen the show, but my friend was telling me about it, and I thought that was funny.
That's kind of funny.
The end.
Yeah, that's how the aliens come, and 6-year-olds that pretend to be black athletes.
Dude, I would.
Yeah, that's how to do it. Confuse the fuck out of everybody. Before you guys get started, I got to give a shout out to the Float Lab. The Float Lab in Venice, California, the premier isolation tank people builders in the country. They're on the West Coast. If you're ever in California, if you're in San Francisco, take a flight down. Trust me, you need to see what these guys are doing. They're taking isolation tanks to the next level. They just installed a new one in my basement this week. It's crazy. You got to come see it. We got to make a new video. Yeah. Remember
cool.
that last video you yeah. made? Let's make a new one because this new one's insane. And I want to take care of them. If you're in Venice or anywhere near it and you can get there, I think it's only like $40 for an hour and a half or something like that. They're very reasonable. And without a doubt, they have the best equipment on the planet Earth. This new one they put in my basement is 8 feet long and 6 feet wide.
Oh,
it's
huge.
You
and a friend could go in there.
Check it. Yeah, you could have a group. You could have a party in that bitch.
Get Buck. Bucks,
Buck Angel. Angel and Buck Cherry
yeah, both of
together.
Them. Pile on.
And if Buck Angel got pregnant from Buck Cherry, that might be the apocalypse.
Dude, what if you had to be in the isolation tank with all of them and Stephen Dorff?
Yeah.
Ow! You're a crazy bitch, but you fuck so good I'm on top of it.
Hey, get off me. Get
hey,
off me, man.
I'm trying to be cool by the beach, man.
Hey.
I don't think what you're doing is cool at all.
This isolation.
Get it together.
Not good for you. Electronic
that sounds
cigarettes.
Like a
tired of being
nightmare.
Guilty. Tired of being guilty about lighting up. And you can light up at a basketball game, because you know me, man. I like to go to the game.
Ugh.
Hang out with the guys. Have a beer.
Why does your man vagina smell like Jay Moore?
What exactly does Jay Moore smell like?
I don't know. Buck Cherry?
Like?
Buck Cherry?
Buck Angel?
By the way, I'm a Buck Cherry fan. Don't get it twisted.
Right.
I like Buck Cherry. And that crazy bitch song. That when I think about my ex girlfriends, like all of them, they could play like all my memories of every chick that I dated until I was like 26, and throw them together with a Buck Cherry song. That crazy bitch song. Just all of my memories of every crazy one of them. Splice them all together. So respect to Buck Cherry. And respect to Buck Angel. Fuck it, man. If you really feel like you were a dude, fuck it. Get in there, son. You've done a great job of looking exactly like a dude. You know, if you were in jiu-jitsu class, I wouldn't want to roll with you. You look quite big. I don't have to deal with that kind of fucking horsepower.
Would you shrimp out?
I would do. I would hip escape. Try to hip escape.
You know what we did on Saturday night this past weekend?
Inside shrimp.
We
out
went
joke.
To an amateur wrestling night in Nashville, Tennessee. Oh, that was Friday night.
That sounds awesome.
Those things. That was our second one. We went to one in Cleveland this past year, like 3 months ago, by default, and it is a. It is an unbelievable thing.
It's a social experiment, right?
It really is. And it's for some reason around like really big dudes, I like something happens to me where like
it's called ovulating.
I think it is. I swear to God, because I like okay, one time I was in Las Vegas with my whole family, by the way, because we all like to drink and gamble. And we were at the Rio and it was Christmas time. And all of a sudden, all these Chippendales came out with Santa Claus. And I was like, oh, my God. And I got pulled onto stage. And I couldn't do anything except go, just like freaking out. Because they picked me up and they were just so everywhere. Big. And I just kept touching their arms. And I was like, oh, my God.
Did your hormones start firing over time?
No, you know, I can't say. Because I'm a real personality kind of girl. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing, I think just the actual visual is such a shock to my system of like a big dude who's like picking me up and his shirt's off and he's hairless and greasy.
But were you willing to let it go and like accept the fantasy?
Oh yeah, no, it was a total fantasy.
Total Magic Mike on this motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know. In my mind, he's probably hung like a field mouse, and I was fine. I'm just kidding.
In your mind, you figured out a way to rationalize it.
I was like, yeah, there's nothing. This is all wrong.
This is all wrong.
But there's something
because you're
about
a personality girl.
The big dude. Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, but the big dude thing is such a like crazy phenomenon to me.
So if you could go into a parallel dimension, which could never be accessed again, and those Chippendales guys could just run a train on you, but no one would ever know. You would be cool with that.
I don't know.
As long
about
as
that.
You could just let it go for like what it's
only
not even
if they
real.
Held me
it doesn't
afterwards.
Even exist. And after it's over, you go right back to the moment where you thought up that idea. You're the only one with the memory. It's all good.
You know, if we had some deep talks and they held me afterwards, I think I'd be cool with it.
It's tough to find deep talks from the Chippendales guys. Probably a lot of Chippendales guys are listening to this podcast right now and they're going, bro, okay, if you were in my shoes,
dude,
fucking
you know what?
Take this
let
job
me tell
too.
You something. Magic Mike fucking got me going. I was into it. But anywho,
really?
I digress. We were at the amateur wrestling night, and there was one of those dudes, and it was like he was not obviously he wasn't grade A top choice muscle meat for me, but he was really interesting, and there was like
great personality.
I disagree, but
grade A top choice muscle meat. How do you define that? Do you have like it's all like do you
he
want,
wasn't I said
are you looking for like a Brock Lesnar type character? Like what is your grade A?
I'm not
muscle
sure who that
meat?
Is, but I
you
like
don't
that
Brock
name.
Brock Lesnar. Former UFC heavyweight champion.
See, this is not my realm, so I need some help.
Kind of looks like the Russian dude in Rocky.
Yeah, he looks like a Viking. Like he looks like
I'm into that. You know,
he's come here on a boat to with a fucking sword in his hand, hops
to
off
pleasure
the
me.
Beach. Not really. Yeah, he'd probably cut your head off. After
yeah, no,
you.
I don't know.
But
about
while he's fucking you, it'd be like an experience.
This is so bad. I cannot believe I was going to tell my parents to listen to this podcast. I hope to Christ they don't. I'm
Mr.
sorry,
Mr. and Mrs.
Guys.
Honey, we really apologize if you're listening right now. We didn't mean to paint her in such an unfavorable light.
They can hang.
This is all just play. We're play. This is entertainment. In real life, I would never talk to your daughter like that. She's a beautiful human being, and I respect her very much. But on the podcast, we got to take our shots for entertainment, okay? And that's where the whole gangbang run a train Chippendales in the parallel dimension thing came from. I don't want that to happen. I don't think Suzanne wants that to happen either. Okay?
They were there.
But afterwards, what did they say to you?
I don't think anybody knew what to do because I was just like, wow! I was high. I mean, they picked me up. They picked me up.
Right. Did that feel good, though? Kind of, kind of exciting.
Because I'm tall and lanky, and that doesn't happen very often.
Like, I can manhandle you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Women want that shit. That's your DNA crying out. That's why a dude doesn't want the opposite. A guy doesn't want a chick who carries him upstairs. Like, what the fuck? If a girl picks you up and carries you upstairs to fuck you, you're like, okay. Like, you're already defeated.
How many times has that happened to you, Joe? Okay,
I don't think it's ever happened to me yet, but...
Mrs. Rogan?
Life is young. Things can happen. People can get crazy. Yeah, but a man doesn't want a woman carrying, right? Have you ever had a dude carry you, Ben? A girl, carry you, Ben?
Not in a sexual sense. Maybe just around town.
Just around town?
I've hopped on a few backs, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's you got to be really confident. Someone doesn't fall backwards.
Yeah, I'm piggyback rides are tough.
Especially when people are grabbing your ankles. Holding you and two more of your friends.
He's a big guy.
He's a very large.
Wow.
He's
two more of your friends?
Yeah, he's
he
large.
Picked up three people?
Three able-bodied adults. Although the lady was on the small side. She was very tiny.
What's the small side? 100 pounds?
She's probably like a 5'2"-er.
That's a lot.
Something like that.
To add to a dude.
He's a big dude. He's like your 7-foot bro.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's some big humans out there.
Yeah, it happens.
Mm-hmm. Honey, what are you going to play for us?
What do you want to do first? Excuse me?
What?
I literally just said.
Want to do Radiohead?
Let's do that. Okay. Here we go.
The other one's sad.
Yeah, no sadness.
This is a cover.
We did
too. No, the other one, it's uplifting.
Obviously. This is a song by Radiohead that we wrote.
You ready?
I think so.
I don't know if I am.
Don't
start
without me.
I just borrowed this guitar. We're just gonna go with it.
Yeah, let's do it, Benny.
You ready?
Yeah, is that okay? Is that okay?
Burr, 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 here we burr. Go, bitches.
One more time.
Two.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four. Used to be alright. What happened? The cat gets your tongue. Your string come undone. One by one. One by one.
How come I end up where I started?
That's very cool, very different for you guys.
It's weird.
Love it. That's a really interesting take on that song, too.
We haven't played that as a duo, which was scary.
Oh, really?
Well, we played with my roommate, this very talented musician, Ben Lewis, and we did it a little trio style. And he played mandolin and sings, so it was kind of, it really sounded bluegrass.
Is it still scary for you guys? I mean, when you think, like, you guys perform so much together, I would think you have almost like a sort of an ESP when it comes to doing a song together, and you know how to, like, ebb and flow with each other. Does it, like, when you, like, a song like that, where you haven't done as a duo before, and you were just doing it?
Yeah, because you don't want it to suck.
But
especially if you're gonna cover a fucking Radiohead song, you wanna like do it some justice. I think that was like a B minus. What'd you think?
Oh, that was great. Shut the fuck up. Don't judge yourself.
Okay,
yeah, there you go.
You're right. I'm sorry. What? Yeah. You sounded really good.
Radiohead, they release all their shit online, right? Did they do that?
I don't know.
They do both now. They did
at least one of their albums online, yeah.
I think they were the first big band to say name your price.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So how do they do that? They just say, like, you put up a PayPal account or something like that, so mm-hmm. you can give us a buck, or you can give us
$50 $1 million?
Yeah, yeah, they made so much money.
Do you think if we do that, we'll make millions of dollars, too?
I don't think we're quite there yet.
I don't know. Maybe we should try.
Do you guys feel a build-up? Do you feel like your crowds are getting larger, your Twitter followers are getting more, you're getting more attention? Do you feel it?
We're kind of cruising right now because we're working on this record, so we haven't been going out much, we haven't been touring that much, and it's not a low, it is a low, because we're not touring.
You're just creating new stuff.
Yeah.
Do you when you do that, how do you take time off the road and you just like say, okay, we have to set aside X amount of weeks? Like how do you do it when you decide you're gonna?
We keep trying to set deadlines. No, we're setting deadlines. So we're gonna be recording by late February. But we have a lot of work to do. You know, we have a lot of writing that we haven't done yet. It's so funny. Last time we were here, we were doing the Kickstarter stuff. And in between, we've been making all the rewards, all the people who donated to the campaign.
Oh, the videos and stuff.
There's a fuckload of haikus, man. Yeah. Let me tell you something.
That's hilarious.
It's been really, really fun and a lot of work. But, like, the actual... And it's just the two of us. Like, nobody's helping us with it, which is really, really the truth. And, like... Each person, like half of, like, you know, 90% of them, we don't know who they are. And that it's such a cool feeling. Like, you know, someone gave us people giving us $500 or even $25, whatever right. the case is, like a really amazing feeling. And then like to write them their haiku and to like it. I'm stuttering.
Well, it's really cool. I hear what you're saying.
It was fun, but we're almost done. And we got a couple shows, you know, things like that here and there, but really we're just writing.
It's really cool, and, you know, these people are always going to have this connection with you now.
It's...
You know?
Yeah, it has been a good thing to see all these names. Now we have all these names.
We know the names, yeah, too. Yeah. Like,
we have addresses.
We fucking know where you live.
That's pretty fucking badass. It's really badass when you stop and think about it.
You might need to sleep on your couch.
It's so unusual, you know? If you really stop and think about it. How often does a band get to do that? I mean, the Rolling Stones never got a chance to do that when they were coming up. You know, who gets a chance to do that?
No, but they hung out with the Hells Angels and, you know, big deal.
Is that okay? That's
yeah.
a substitute?
Well, that's what we need to do is we need to get a motorcycle gang behind us. And I think that's just like straight to the tippy top.
That gets like people stabbed. You got to be really careful with that shit.
I mean, knives aren't so bad. Just kidding. I make jokes.
Through. This is kind of a weird... Maybe terrible thing. I got through the airport security with a knife yesterday.
Somebody else just told me the exact same thing the other day.
Yeah.
You did?
I realized it was in my jacket, and I said, fuck.
What are you carrying a knife for? What are you doing, man?
It's a gift.
You getting crazy?
It's a gift.
You out there?
Maybe I have to shit on the fucker.
When you're a jet, for life?
Yeah, exactly. I was snapping.
Are switchblades making a comeback?
Yes. I carry a knife on me all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Wow, you gangster.
You know what? Like when you
some
walk,
packages are really hard to open, Joe.
When you walk to your car, you want to open something, you got a little thread on your coat, just...
Listen, don't think I don't appreciate it. If I was a chick, I'd be armed as fuck.
I didn't really think about it as much until I moved to Nashville, and I'm alone a lot of the time, so it's like... Never mind. I'm fine. I'm totally armed. I have a big dog.
Dudes just pulled their pants off.
Dude, I'm fucking
alone a lot of time.
When did you start dating big black guys?
It's time to fantasize.
From the beginning.
Oh, Suzanne.
Please stop.
Sorry. That's my giant horny redneck that sees you at the supermarket.
I will fight to the death if I have to, you know.
Well, I like how you roll. You gotta do what you gotta do.
This is getting hardcore.
Living in Nashville is better, worse, different.
I'm going to say better.
Different. Yeah.
Better in the sense that from a, you know, I'm here to play music vibe. Like, you get so much more for your dollar. It's a very affordable town. There's incredible musicians on every corner that are welcoming and inspiring and helpful. And, like, we have all these friends that help us with, like, just getting integrated. And we, I really like it. It's funny. I was telling Red Band earlier. He's like, "How you doing?" And I was like, "You know, I'm great, and I love LA. I really do." But like, the minute I got on the 10 and I was stuck in traffic, I was in a foul mood.
Really?
Well, yeah. I just like I wanted to get here. I wanted to go pick up Ben across town, and like, it was just it was funny. It like took so long to get here. I left at 12:30.
Wow.
And I don't know. There's just something about Nashville that I really our productivity, like your energy. I have more energy. I go to the YMCA like four times a week. I mean, things are look at this. It's happening.
So you have more time.
More time. Much more
why,
time.
But why is that?
The pace is so much slower there. Just in general.
And it's a smaller town. There's not as many people.
We know fewer people.
Mm-hmm. You can get around easier.
Yes. Ben lives like a mile and a half from me, which is nice.
See, again, you guys are moving to a new place. Why don't you move right next door to each other? You're crazy. Why not create a little community?
Well, you know what? We kind of are right next door to each other. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you the last time I went a day without seeing you, like a whole day.
How does that feel?
It feels great. I think you're really great. I think you're really funny, and you're so smart and talented and good looking.
You're beautiful. What a great body.
I like how you guys roll. This is beautiful. Just got ugly. Do you have to resist that? Do you have to resist that? I mean, you guys have been together for a long time. Do you have to resist romantic urges? No conversation is
going gay these days.
No need to have this conversation.
It's true. Ben's revisiting his life in the 90s.
It's odd, though, to have a man-woman sort of equal partnership like this in a band that works and nobody winds up getting pregnant.
Oh, my God. God, I'm so not ready for that.
You know, I mean, wrap it up. You guys are like bandmates, really good friends. That's a weird position for a man and a woman to be like really good friends, isn't it? In this day and age,
unusual. Because it's you know, it's difficult in a lot of different ways because you know, for the significant others that we date, that's a big one, you know, to because we're so close. I mean, creativity together is a very intimate thing. So, you know, it's a rough road being a musician in general, because like you either date someone in your band or you date someone not in your band that you never see, right, or you're with someone that you see every day. There's like this like fine line.
Did you ever date a guy who's like the fucking Ben guy?
Never. No, that would be ridiculous. That would
I don't
be
like how he looks at you when
how,
you
why
sing.
Would I want to date someone who didn't like my best friend? I'd be like, then, yeah.
I don't like how he looks at you.
Unless he was a Chippendale, I might make some reparations.
Yeah? If he was a Chippendale?
No, I wouldn't.
Just those guys from that night. If you could just relive
it. It would be a short-lived relationship, let me tell you.
Well, listen, that's what you're looking for. What are you trying to do? You're trying to fix the world? You're trying to have a good time. Okay? What are you going to do? Going to establish utopia? And start a new community? No, you're going to get your freak on with a bunch of fucking shaved dudes. That's the problem. A little baby oil and a big party. The smell of suntan lotion in the air.
Oh, no.
Right?
God, it's so funny.
Leg shavers, all of them.
Tan
too.
Fellas.
How does that affect?
I'm white as goat cheese. It's just like, it's amazing. I couldn't get a tan to save my life.
No?
I've tried. Didn't work out well.
Nothing.
Vera Gontan.
Burn?
I burn, yeah.
But you have dark hair.
I do.
Yeah, what is your nationality?
Italian. I'm a papa's side, and my mom is Native American Indian and European.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's
so I'm going to live forever and be an alcoholic.
Whoa.
Kidding. It was not true.
Is that the case? Like, do you find that it runs in your community?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, of course. First of all, whose family, I want to know, doesn't have...
alcoholism?
Yeah, come on. But
boring
but,
people,
but,
Mormons.
You know, it's true, like... Every culture has their physical relationship to it, genetically speaking. And I believe that I'm a lightweight. As much as I love to drink, like I'm kind of good after two drinks. I'm pretty warm. My volume gets louder. You know, I
you're
start
the best
taking
kind
my clothes
of girl.
Off. I'm kidding.
Yeah, you're good for a party.
That was a lie.
You're ready to go.
In the most fucking classy kind of way. bros.
That's all anybody's looking for, the most classy kind of way, period.
But anyway, yeah, I hope that I said that well and it was not offensive.
Do you find it is easy to make friends in Nashville? You guys like meeting cool people and you enjoy it?
Warm and open.
Yeah. It's an unusual town, isn't it?
Yeah, and I never realized how huge LA was until you go to Nashville. And it really is a small town. Like, we go out, we're there 2 weeks and you go out and you're seeing people that you know. And you can get across town in 15 minutes and everybody just kind of wants to hang. It's like a big sitting on the porch, beer drinking community.
Yeah, it's like, I think that when towns get too big, and there's a lot of great things about LA. There's a lot of, I mean, there's so many great restaurants, there's so many places to go. All my friends live here. I love LA, but I really like smaller towns. I really loved living in Boulder. I really love Portland. You know, I really love Nashville. Nashville's badass. And there's like a better vibe. There's like, oh, the frequency in the air is less intense. It's not death metal. It's like fucking piano music. You know what I mean? It's like you can relax a little. Like the frequency of the actual city itself. You go to New York, okay? New York is, it's red line. Everywhere you go, it's bah, wah. It's, there's too many people. There's no way to avoid that. It's a crazy fucking town. It could take you an hour to drive across that stupid island. You know, a whole hour.
Yeah,
easily.
At least.
Easily. Which should take you a minute. You know, it should take you 1 minute.
I tell you.
So that kind of stress is going to definitely affect people socially. And you don't get that in like a place like Nashville. And that in itself is better.
And that's what it feels like. The pace of everything is slower. You know, so you can get more, I don't know if you take advantage of it, you can get more accomplished because there's not this constant scurrying that you feel like you have to, or at least I had felt like I had to do in LA.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, get to here, and then nothing would actually come of any of these things.
No, I feel that. I feel that constant scurrying. You know, I've had friends like Eddie Bravo. He used to live in West Hollywood, and he liked living in West Hollywood because he felt like when he lived there, the pace was like a faster pace because everybody was doing things. It made him feel like you had to get up and get things done.
Uh-huh.
That is the last shit I need. You know, I do not want that.
Well, it's kind of like you have to get up and get things done, and then you can't get there on time because you have to wait. that's a difficult thing to digest.
Do you guys do any Ween covers?
No, but we talked about Piss Up a Rope last time we were here. Yeah, we played it.
Where'd the cheese go?
Is that it?
Where'd the cheese go?
Oh, no. Oh, that's great. I love cheese.
You love cheese? You know what's a sad thing about cheese?
Oh, no. Joe, don't.
Tell you
don't.
What's a sad thing.
Don't.
This fucking country, okay? People are not allowed to use unpasteurized milk to make cheese. You have to pasteurize the milk and homogenize it and boil it down and kill all the stuff that makes the cheese taste good. You ever have cheese in Europe?
No.
Oh, you gotta have cheese in France. You have some non-homogenized cheese in France from an old like cheesemaker, some motherfucker who really knows what they're doing. You can get it in America. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's places in. We used to get some
ruining my cheese
really
dreams.
Delicious cheese. There's a place in Beverly Hills. It's like a straight cheese place. And I know it's probably like a Cuban cigars sort of a thing. Like you can get Cuban cigars, but you got to know people. They got to know you first. And they slip you the non-homogenized, non-pasteurized
cheese. Secret
cheese?
You have secret cheese access in Los Angeles?
Do you ever have raw milk? Do you ever drink raw milk?
I have, yeah.
It's delicious.
It's okay.
And it's so good. It's just okay?
Listen, you know,
raw milk with cookies, you cannot go wrong.
Warm, a little curd.
With some badass fucking...
Straight from the teat.
Yeah.
Sitting on the lap of an elderly man.
A couple pubic hairs.
If you get some badass cookies, okay, some really good, like Nestle's Toll House type bitches, like, what is that that place at the airport?
Did you just say Nestle's Toll House cookies?
Type bitches?
Honey
yeah,
bomb?
What is that fucking, no, not Cinnabon. Those cookies, there's a fucking famous cookie chain. They're amazing cookies. God damn, I can't remember.
Okay, hold on.
Famous Amos.
No,
Spire.
Famous Amers are pretty good, but there's like cookies that you get, like they're always at the mall.
Are they gourmet cookies?
Yeah.
Oh, Mrs. Fields.
Yes, yeah. There you go, Mrs. Fields. And you know, they have the,
ask
you know,
me another one.
Take a few of those. Just get some
a lot
peanut
about
butter
malls.
Chocolate chips. And you know what? I'm going to find a Mrs. Fields in this area in Pasadena. We're going to go there after this fucking show.
Wow.
I need some cookies. You can't go. You got to go to Hollywood.
Look what's happening.
Oh, my comedy special comes out tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow it comes out on joerogan.net. If you go to joerogan.net, RogenPodcast@Joerogan.net. It's available. We're having a problem with the Amazon thing. It's it was supposed to be ready today, but it's not. So hopefully it'll be ready by tomorrow. But if not, the PayPal thing will definitely still be ready. I like it to be ready with Amazon, so you can do that one click, which is awesome, by the way. I'm a huge Amazon one click proponent. So it'll be on joerogan.net. It'll be there. That's what it's going to look like. You know, you got to enter in all your nonsense. And the special, something that I paid for it entirely myself, Louis C.K. style. I did essentially exactly what he did. I'm releasing it for $5. I think what he did, like, by setting that price is, like, really smart. I think it's really cool. And, you know, Louis is one of the best comics in the country. Why would you ask for more? Don't be playing that.
It's an outtake.
Stop that shit. I know what it is, bitch. It's my show. But it's available tomorrow. And then there's, like, a whole thing explaining that I paid for it. And please don't steal it. You know, of course, certain people are going to steal it. You're going to. But it's I think it's a reasonable price. I think this sort of model, like what we were talking about with Radiohead, what they did, allowing people to pick their own. I think, stop playing my shit, dude.
Oh, I wasn't playing.
How dare you?
It's kind of cool to look at the quality of it. Look at the quality. It's
dare
amazing.
You? No, it's great. Positive Image Video did it. They're the same people that produced the UFC shows. And my friend Anthony Giordano, he's the director of it, and he's the one who did my last one, Talking Monkeys in Space too. And we, you know, I'm real excited to do it this way for a couple reasons. One, I think it's the best way to distribute things, to distribute them online, and to do it directly to your fans instead of having to go through Comedy Central or any of these other. For a comic, like, to have an outlet to release your stuff, there's only a few options. You could do an HBO thing or a Showtime thing, or, you know, and, like, unfortunately, you have to actually sit down with people when you do that, and they have to decide what they like about your material, what they don't like, and that shit is whack, okay? That is, like, the worst thing about being a comedian is when you go to release your stuff and there's other people that have a say or want to have a say in the actual content. It's crazy. They're the dumbest conversations. I've had people get upset at the dumbest shit. It's mind-boggling, and it's unnecessary. And I think one of the things that is really important about art is whether it's a stand-up comic or someone who writes something or whatever it is. I love an individual's unique point of view. I love seeing the way a person puts it together. You know, whether it's perfect or not, if it comes from you, I like that. I like knowing that you wrote all your jokes. I like knowing that you thought all these thoughts, that you printed all those words. I want to be connected with your thoughts, your creativity, your consciousness. And the only way to do that is for a person to release their own shit, period. You know, whether it's a band to release their own shit or a comedian to release their own shit. As soon as you have some executive type characters interfering with your creative process, you're fucked. You know, you just are. That's not what they're supposed to be doing. But when they can, they will. They get their dirty little greasy fingers all over your shit. And they fuck it up, inevitably. And I guess that's not necessary anymore. Because of this podcast, we've essentially cut out doing most radio shows. I mean, I occasionally do radio, but it's not like every week like I used to have to do it. I don't have to do as many different interviews. You can talk directly to the people that enjoy what you do. And these are crazy times, you know. This podcast alone has changed my life, changed Brian's life, changed Ari's life, Duncan's life, Joey's life, changed all of our lives. We're in a weird place right now. And I think the only smart thing to do is just keep going in the same direction. That's why I got this new studio set up, and that's why we're releasing things online like this, and that's why we're all touring and we're all continuing to write material.
And your special, by the way, is out right now. You could actually buy it this second, right?
This right second. Yeah, I'm not supposed to say that because they're trying to get everything in order, especially get the Amazon shit corrected. But if you want to get crazy, go ahead, buy it, download it. It's supposed to be up. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess it, don't say sorry. You didn't know. How did you know? Yeah, but tomorrow it's official. So wait for tomorrow if you like fucking opening up your presents in the morning. If you're one of those dudes who still believes in Santa, wait till tomorrow, okay? If not, yeah, you can go fucking get it right now. $5. Please don't steal it, okay? I paid for this shit. It costs like more than $100,000 to film. It's very expensive.
Yeah.
But
well, you did professional style.
Yeah, no, I didn't fuck around. And we did it at the Tabernacle in Atlanta, which is a beautiful, historic theater. It's an amazing, amazing theater. And it was important for, I hadn't been to Atlanta in a couple of years, so it was important to do it somewhere where I hadn't been for a while to cover, you know, to, I hate getting emails from people like, when the fuck are you coming back to Vancouver? Trust me, I want to come back to Vancouver. I just don't, I haven't had a chance. So that was an Atlanta sort of a situation, so it was really cool to be able to do it in Atlanta. And Atlanta is does not get enough credit. That is a badass fucking town. I love Atlanta. And it's one of the, like, the most diverse, like, racially diverse towns. Atlanta's one of those places where you see, like, a lot of black dudes wearing suits. Like, a lot of, like...
Gator shoes.
Yeah,
stuff like
expensive
that. Cool.
clothes and, you know, driving... Like, it's a weird thing. It's like, there's a lot of, like, black professionals in Atlanta. It's like... The level of interaction between white people and black people, it's way higher in Atlanta, and that's a fucking real problem with LA. You know, LA is first of all like kind of segregated, and second of all, it's such a car culture that people don't really. It's not like on the subways in New York, people will mingle, black people will mix with white people, everybody gets together, people from different all sorts of different economic groups are all together. That's in LA. That's not the case. In LA, there's like a lot of haves and have-nots. It's a lot of separation, and everyone's driving, so no one's like on a train with a bunch of, you know, young kids. So it's a different sort of a vibe. Mm-hmm. I think we miss out because of that. You know, the idea that, you know, you get a little more, little less crime that way, and, you know, it's a little safer that way, but you miss out on a little bit of the whole experience of being a human. In Atlanta, it's a, there's a lot of mixing going on. It was cool. You know, I liked it. Saw a lot of black guys with white chicks. Saw a lot of that. I saw a bunch of white dudes with black chicks too. It was an interesting place. I dig Atlanta, but it was a really cool place to do my special.
Tabernacle's great.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. And that's the name of the special. It's Live from the Tabernacle. Because I'm not that creative, and I couldn't come up with a better name. That's all direct. I had in my wheelhouse. I searched. I found nothing. And I decided to just release it. So from Talking Monkeys in Space to Live from a Place. Yeah, the last one. I ran out of my good names.
Do you do, once you release a special, do you stop doing that material live?
Yeah. I mean, maybe on a rare occasion, if someone yells something out, I would do it just for fun, you know, but it's over. Yeah, I got to let that shit go. Huh. Move on to the next material. That's why, first of all, this is what people are like, why did it take so long to release this? Because we filmed it on 420 in April. So part of it took that time because I had a new website that just went live last week, and it takes a long time to get like a professional website design company to build like exactly what you want, and you know, the website traffic has been so crazy that it gotten to a point where I needed something that was like a little bit more robust and a little bit more functional. And then I'm, you know, incorporating the podcast into it, and we're working on a totally new podcast website now, and that's like the next step. But it's a whole podcast thing is just it's gotten so out of control. It's almost like, I don't know, Brian, if you feel about it the same way I do, but I always feel like we're like on a fucking little boat on top of some crazy wave, and we're like, whoa, what do we need to do? We need 4 fucking rafts. Okay, let's get rafts. You know, like when we buy shit for the studio, it's always like, what do we need? Oh, we need more of this shit, we need more of that shit, and it just seems to be kind of growing on its own, and we're just kind of keeping up with it, you know. This is a part of it. So, you know, these shows that we do, whenever I ask people, like, how many of you guys listen to the podcast, it went about a year in, it was about 50%. And now it's like 100%. Now it's crazy. And we're having the fucking time of our lives. I just want to tell you guys, as much as you people are enjoying it, we get these emails, we get these tweets and text messages. I get these emails every day that tell people, or people telling us rather, that the podcast has changed their life and changed the way they think about things. And the conversations we've had with people like Dennis McKenna yesterday. I talked to a guy today who told me he listened to it 5 times already. Came out yesterday. You know, it's like, it was such a crazy fucking conversation. We are, just as you are, we're growing with these conversations as well. There's no other way Brian and I would have had the opportunity to sit down with all these people and have these conversations with them. They wouldn't just be willing to come meet us somewhere and sit down for 3 hours a day. It would be crazy. If I was just some dude who lived in a castle somewhere, but I need to converse with this man, bring him to me. You know, the only way you can really have a it has to be worthwhile for them too, so they can get their message out. So it's this whole thing has been a real symbiotic exchange. So when you guys, I can't say it enough. People keep telling me, you know, hey, this podcast changed my life. I've heard it before, and I appreciate the fuck out of it every time. And there's no other way to say it. You know, we're blown away by this whole thing. We appreciate it. Is this like love music in the background?
I've had the time of my life.
I've had the time. Is that Dirty Dancing?
Yes.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Remember there was two albums?
Don't put Baby in a corner, okay? All right. So JoeRogan.net, go get it. It's available on PayPal and I think Amazon and hopefully Amazon's ready by today. It was supposed to be. If it's not, it should be around tomorrow. But that's it.
All right. Hi-ho.
Go fuck yourself. Or not. I don't care.
Honey.
Honey, would you like to play another song? Honey would be joining us this Friday at the End of the World show. The first time we've ever done a show with a band, ever. In the history
really?
Of the world. Yeah.
No pressure.
Nothing.
Oh,
we've never.
Shit.
No, please, it'd be awesome. No, you guys, I believe, are the first people that played live in here, right? Weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everlast was second. You guys were first.
Yeah.
We came before Everlast.
Yeah. Poppin' Cherries left and right.
Dude.
Yeah.
Damn.
We love Poppin' Cherries. What?
Holla.
What?
I think you just contributed to rape culture again.
No.
That could be consensual.
Buck cherry pop. And she's my cherry pie.
Dude, hey, thanks for having us on here again.
Please, we love you guys, and the people that contact us online love you guys. The people that we've talked to so many people that say thank you for turning us on to Honey Honey.
I get a lot on Twitter. Them, and they're awesome.
Isn't that cool?
It's so great. It's so great.
I don't know what happened, man, but we have the coolest fucking people in the world that are connected to us. I really don't get it. I don't know how it took place. It's an amazing lack of douchebags. It's staggering. The actual douche numbers to cool people numbers, it's crazy. It doesn't exist anywhere else on the earth. We're creating utopia.
It's pretty cool, and we appreciate it.
Listen, we appreciate you guys. You guys are awesome. You're incredibly talented, and like I said before, we do whatever the fuck we can to promote you guys.
Thank you. Well, speaking of, I want to say that we have a show in Cleveland, my hometown, on 12/26. That's the day after Christmas at the House of Blues in downtown. And nice. I feel like it's like only half full right now.
Powerful Cleveland. Get
so
out there, bitches.
So if anybody's in the area, we're headlining. So we're going to play for a nice chunk of time.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. When you guys do a headlining set, how long do you play for?
I think we're going to do 70 minutes.
Yeah, 70, like 75.
That's a good number. I like to do that on stand-up, too. When I do more than that, I feel like I'm testing people's paying their attention, you know, like, and they're like, oh, enough, dude. How much more you want attention?
We talk a lot too. You know, there's a lot of
Do you guys have like Paul Stanley type banter?
Paul Stanley.
I don't know who
Paul
Stanley is.
Stanley from Kiss.
Oh, Paul.
Oh,
I never seen that.
I was like, is that a comedian?
I thought it was that guy that was like,
I don't know.
How many of you out there like to taste of alcohol?
Oh no, but
you never
we
seen
should.
That, Brian? Pull some of that up. Paul Stanley introducing for Kiss before we play this.
If
song.
We try, oh, that,
you're talking about Paul Schaefer.
No, Paul Stanley from Kiss.
Paul Stanley.
Paul Stanley talks to the audience.
It's honey, and we think you're great.
No, you have to do it. You have to be totally fucking cheesy. Yeah, Paul Stanley talks to the audience. This is a short video of Paul Stanley talking and playing with audience at a Kiss Alive 35 concert. That's
we should do this.
But that's Peter Criss. What Paul Stanley does, they've made CDs out of it. The dude, whoever you are, that's made those CDs, I forget your name. Thank you very much. This guy sent me a stack of them. They're hilarious. It's all Paul Stanley from In Between Songs. How many of you out there like to party? Like that kind of shit. It's like super duper cheesy shit.
He's getting mad with a laser.
He's getting, some guy's got a laser.
Bring that guy up here with a laser. Come here, schmuck.
Schmuck, come here, schmuck. No, you know, people know you're an old Jew when you're calling a guy schmuck and you don't have a shirt on. Try to find that one Paul Stanley talks to the audience. Yeah, that's just so they could get rid of some douchebag. Is that it?
That's amazing.
Yeah, how about that one? What was that one? Oh, that's another one. It's all laser one. Anyway. My point is, I have no point. That's my point. My point is, he's a hell of a showman, that Paul Stanley.
Got it. Smart guys, those Kisses.
They made a lot of money, those Kisses.
Yeah. They really worked it.
Are you guys fans? What kind of music did you listen to growing up?
I listened to I have a really, really old dad, so I was listening to like classical music and music from the 20s and 30s.
Ben, yeah. How old's your dad?
He's super old. He's 91 now.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How old are you?
I'm 27.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and this was before Cialis.
Holy shit.
And five-hour boners. So I'm praying for
How old was your mom?
She's 28 years younger than him.
Whoa. So she's, God bless your dad. That's Ben's, why he
Ben's
got a boner.
Dad served in World War II in the Pacific and stormed the airfields of Peleliu.
Holy shit.
And
he's hardcore.
Yeah, he's hardcore. He's amazing.
Holy shit.
Mark Jaffe.
Mm-hmm. Dude, your dad is a hero. It's That's true. Why he got a boner. He's 28 years younger chick.
Yeah.
He's a hero boner. Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't
it's a hero that. Boner.
You don't look Asian at all, either.
You don't look Asian at all. How dare you? He's Russian. He's a mail order bride child. Damn.
Easy.
Yeah. Easy, easy. I'm talking about mom and dad here, you fucks. So you listen to classic shit? That's like
I listen to, like he would start. You know there's an opera called the Magic Flute. Yeah, this is going there. This is Mozart. Mozart wrote this opera called the Magic Flute, and he played every single weekend. So he'd just be blasting. He'd blast it like he was playing AC/DC. But it'd be like every every weekend. Yeah. So I remember that. And then
did he get you into playing music?
No. Not really. Neither of them did. They didn't really play that much. But I don't know where it started, but I just decided I want to play violin first. And I played violin when I was like 6, and then I dropped it. And then I started playing drums. And from there on, I just kind of freaked out about it and got obsessed.
So from age 6, you started with the violin, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't play it at all anymore, though.
No?
Which is a shame. I feel like, actually, it would come back. If I really put in the time.
You should give it a whirl.
Yeah. I believe in you.
I think I could get sarcastic. No, I'm not. I'm serious. I believe in you. I think you can do it.
Come on, champ.
Champ.
Give it a shot.
Get in the game.
Come on, Rocky. There is no tomorrow. Yeah. What about you, Suzanne? How'd you start?
Well, I listened to a lot of, like, juxtaposed with my folks run an Italian restaurant. So I grew up with a lot of like jazz, like Rosemary Clooney and Frank Sinatra and Louis Prima and stuff like that. And I like that a lot. And then like regular like 90s rock pop, like
Scorpions.
My mom listened to Roxette. There was a lot of Roxette in the car.
What's Roxette?
God. What's their song? Hold on, it'll come to me. Fucking A. Red Bands. Where are we at here?
Roxette?
It'll come. Hold on. But there's Roxette. Yeah. Well, how does it go?
You got the look.
Yeah. You got the look. You got the look. Is there anything in fucking the sun? Yeah.
That's a good song.
Actually. There was that song. Yes. So there's that. Like my mom was the more sort of contemporary culture. My dad and I used to listen to a lot of Journey together and Harmonize.
You guys used to harmonize together?
We used to harmonize. I remember actually.
Don't stop believing.
It was crazy. And I'd be like, you take the high. And he'd be like, no.
No way. You and your dad would sing Journey together?
Yeah. And my dad played some acoustic guitar. Wow. You know, he really liked Jethro Tull a lot. And
really?
Yeah. He was, you know, he had a band in the 70s.
And did he really?
A mustache and a perm.
Whoa, so your dad
he was
had
pretty,
a perm.
Pretty hip, that guy.
Did he have bell bottoms?
I hope not, but yes.
Of course he did.
No, I'm sure he did.
Yeah,
there's all these pictures of my dad and my grandfather and my uncles, and they look like Italian mobsters. Like they just, everybody has like, everything's like together. There's like tailored suits and like big glasses, and that's just like the 70s, you know, Italian.
Elton John glasses.
Totally. It was totally gay.
Yeah, but a weird time. The 70s were so confused. It's like they got disconnected from the mother nipple of drugs, you know? It's like in the 60s, they all had acid and marijuana and mushrooms, and in the 70s, like, oh, what are we going to do?
There's a lot
Stay
of pot.
Sober, man. Stay.
A lot of pot and a lot of Quaaludes. Well, you know?
Quaaludes, pills. Yeah. Pills confused motherfuckers start wearing pointy shoes and bell bottoms and big belt buckles. What am I doing?
But isn't that funny how I feel
just
like back then dudes for the most part had such there was such a like wardrobe wise speaking there was so much more of an effort put into what guys would wear on a regular basis.
Yeah, because they didn't have Match.com. You couldn't just like find people online. You had to pretend to be something you weren't. That's you had to really go funny. Somewhere and wear the outfit and do whatever you could to get someone to touch you. Jesus Christ. What do I have to like? Do I have to dance? You know? Men are essentially junkies, and they're born into this world junkies, and then they go out as young men with these full raging hormones, and it's this massive quest to figure out how to get someone to touch you. And what do I have to do? How? What do I have to pretend? Do I have to talk a certain way?
Brass tacks.
Cut my hair a certain way. Let me just get that figured out first. And yeah. Every man is struggling with that. Mm-hmm. From the time we're young, when we're 16, 17, 18, the conversations we have is all about how we figure it out, how to fucking get them to like us.
It's so funny.
Yeah. Well, that's what breeding is all about. If it wasn't for that sense of urgency, there'd be three people on the planet. You know, you'd have to. The only reason why we do it is because we are junkies. We're just so crazed. Just get rid of the loads. Just get them in there quick. Somebody touch me. And so, oh there you go with bell bottoms. Fucking confusing wardrobe things. It takes like 10 years for people to go, what the fuck are we doing? Yeah, what the fuck are we doing? These things look stupid as fuck. You're right, man. Fuck bell bottoms. Pants are still here, okay? Pants work. Here. Everybody's cool with jeans. Yeah. Jeans have been around since fucking, you know, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid had the same jeans that you wear.
They wore jeans? Denim.
They wore canvas, which is interesting. Most clothes and pants during like the miner days, the cowboy days, were actually made with cannabis. They were made out of hemp.
What?
Yeah, most clothes.
Love that.
Yeah. Well, before before slavery was illegal, that's what most shit was made with. They made more clothes with hemp and more flags and sails. All that stuff is made with hemp because it's much, much stronger than cotton. And then when Eli Whitney came along and made the cotton gin, then it became really easy to make shit with cotton. And then the decorticator was invented in the 1930s. And the 1930s was right after prohibition for alcohol had ended. And they were trying to figure out what to do with all these fucking drug enforcement agents that were, you know, assigned to go after alcohol. And one of the things they did was a concerted effort between this guy, William Randolph Hearst, that owned all the newspapers. We also owned all these paper mills. And the cover of Popular Science magazine had this article, Hemp, the New $1 Billion Crop. And so everybody was switching over to hemp because they had created this decorticator, which allows you to effectively process the hemp fiber, the stalk of the plant, which is like incredibly useful for making paper and clothes. And it allowed you to process it without slavery.
Yeah.
It allows you to process it like an economically effectively. And so William Randolph Hearst started printing all these articles about marijuana and about how marijuana was causing blacks and Mexicans to rape white women.
Oh, wow.
So that's how they shut down the hemp business. It was all about hemp as a commodity.
Well,
it wasn't about
protecting cotton interests, his own cotton.
He was protecting paper. Because he owned paper mills. He was also DuPont had an interest in it because DuPont had came up with a chemical composition for nylon to make ropes. And previously, all ropes had been made out of hemp. So
how
there was
do you know this? What's
going on here? It's readily available. You can get it online.
But I mean, you just like, it's amazing. That is very impressive, is all I'm saying.
It's just memory. That's all it is. It's just, look, you ask me shit about important things, like where your taxes go. I don't really know that.
You know what? We don't want to know. I don't want to know.
You should know. Our overlords are lying to us. But that's the only reason why it's still legal today. Where it's still legal today is now it's gone from a textile and an issue with like nylon. Now it's gone to pharmaceutical drugs. And the influence of pharmaceutical drugs is the only reason why it's. And then there's also people that would profit from it being illegal, like prison guard unions actively spend money to try to keep marijuana illegal. Private prisons, they will actively try to spend money to keep marijuana illegal because they want to keep their prisons stocked because that's how they make money. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Prison guard unions spend money to make sure that drugs stay illegal. That's cute. Isn't that cute? Because they make money. I mean, it literally is like slavery. I mean, if it wasn't illegal, those people wouldn't be in jail. They'd be free. So you make something that they do, and you spend money to keep it illegal, something they enjoy that doesn't hurt anybody else. You spend money to keep it illegal so you can enslave them and make money from the fact that they're locked in a cage that you own.
Mass incarceration.
That's amazing.
Scary.
We're going to look back on this day in the future when people are – when they have full access to everything, including thoughts and all misinformation will be accounted for and corrected. We will look back with great shame at how stupid we ran this world. We will look back at with great shame at the people that we called our leaders and what a group of fucking monkeys they are. When you see them arguing about the fiscal cliff and all this other nonsense, you realize these are incredibly flawed human beings from a different time and an era, and they're all trying to appease these fucking monsters that put them in the position. These corporations, they spend millions of dollars in a sociopathic way to try to profit from these fucks representing them. We're going to look back on this, and we're going to be really, really shocked that we were this weak. We're going to be really shocked that it was this pathetic with our incredible access to information that we were still this wonky with our system of government and our system of money and welfare and protecting each other and our sense of community and our willingness to go into wars. We're going to look back on it. It's going to be shocking. Just as shocking as the Inquisition.
I don't think that they don't know what they're doing. You know, I think that it is a joke to see how the world is run, or our country, or whatever. Sometimes, not all the time, but you know, I don't think that it goes like under their radar. I think it's just like politics and selfishness.
It's that, but it's also completely out of control. It's so big, like the system is so interconnected. There's hundreds of different organizations. There's more than 100 different countries. There's all this fucking politics. There's a certain amount of natural resources that they need every fucking day. There's so much is going on. There's so many different connected issues and so many fucking human beings. It's so hard. It's like people were born into this system. It's completely chaotic. It's completely out of control, completely corrupt, and it's like everybody agrees. Everybody looks at it and says it's a mess, but no one knows what to do, and they try to work within the system to fix it, but that doesn't seem to be working. So it's like our options are wait for it to completely fall apart and come up with something totally new, or slowly sort of chip away at this horrible problem that our ancestors have created and left us with. Because mm-hmm. That's the real issue. It's like you and I and we didn't create this world. We didn't decide to invade Afghanistan. You know, we say we are going to war with Iraq. It's not, we have nothing to do with that. The fact that some human beings that somehow or another represent us because we're all in this one patch of dirt together is crazy. And it's always been crazy. It was crazy when the Romans did it. It's crazy when the Greeks did it. But it's even more crazy when we do it. It's more crazy when we do it because we have the access to the information that allows us to see the wiring under the board and see what's really motivating this whole thing and see where this is all going from. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that we're so dumb. That these are our leaders. That guys like Newt Gingrich really think they could be president. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. All of it, that a guy like Mitt Romney can have this incredibly horrific record in business and still, you know, put himself up as a businessman for the people and almost get elected. But it's just as crazy that a guy like Obama can win the Nobel Peace Prize and then send 30,000 more people with guns to Afghanistan. We're fucking crazy. We're crazy as shit.
Yeah. Circumstances.
Circumstances?
It's just like an endless, it's like that knot. What's that thing, the Gordian knot or whatever? You know what I'm talking about? You know when, there's that story about Alexander the Great, and he has this knot that no one can untie. It's just this endlessly complex knot, and you can't cut it. Actually, that's what he did. He just sliced it in half and destroyed this Gordian knot.
I've never heard of that, Gordian knot?
Yeah. And you have these people, I don't know, it's...
Wow, it's the first time I've ever heard that.
You're dealing with this infinitely complex situation, and you still have humans that are trying to solve it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think sometimes there's a lot of energy put towards, you know, defaming the people in power and saying, and I'm not a supporter of a lot of the people that you're talking about or the systems that govern, but I think it was interesting, like this last week, sorry to get back on this, but the shooting thing, and there's this knee-jerk reaction that comes from a place of anger with a lot of people, and I think that ends up just being wasted energy when people just start spouting off about how, you know, things aren't the way they should be, and reacting angrily, it takes away energy from changing individual lifestyles, which is the only thing we can really do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the only thing that you can change is how you're living your life and your usage of these resources that are basically the reason why we're in all these difficult situations, because the way we live our lives takes up X amount of resource from, you know, Afghan Joe, so we have to go in there and take his stuff and create, you know, complicated situations we can't get out of.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I'm just rambling here.
No. I agree with you in a lot of ways, and I think that I would hate to have to be. I think if you were elected president right now, you'd be fucked. I think anybody would be. People even with good intentions. I think there's so many things you have to deal with. There's so many pressures. There's so much going on. And, you know, as much as you want to be the voice of reason, you live in a fucking crazy world. The Pakistan still exists, okay? It's a fucking completely disconnected country with nuclear arms and a hate for India, their next-door neighbor. And, I mean, we had Shane Smith from Vice.com, and he was talking about how, you know, leaders from that part of the world have, like, said they want to strap themselves with nuclear bombs and go over and destroy their enemies. They're fucking crazy. And this is 2012. And this is a reality that people have to deal with, you know? That's why you need Navy SEALs. You need the Army. You need the Marines. I mean, it sounds, people want to, they don't want to think that that's real. They don't want to think that you do need a military. You fucking need a military, man. Mm-hmm. Unless you want your wife raped in the street by Chinese soldiers. And I'm not saying the Chinese want to do that. But I'm saying that traditionally has been what human beings have done. That's what Genghis Khan did. That's what the Romans did. That's the Greeks did. People have been taking over people from the history, from the first time people started writing things down. It's a fucking series of stories about people taking over other people. That's what everybody's always done. And if you don't protect the people, then that's most likely going to happen, because we really haven't evolved enough to not have it happen. You know, it would be beautiful if everybody was all peace, love, and kumbaya. But the reality is, if you actually pay attention to the news, there's a lot of non-kumbaya type shit going down all over the world. You know, you need a little bit of a military. Mm-hmm. The problem is, you got a military, and then you have a bunch of people that decide, you know, we'll fucking send these bitches over here, and then we got some oil, and we'll just make a lot of money. And there you go. 2012. Yeah. I have no point to this. And this bitching doesn't do any good. And the only thing it could possibly help is that somebody maybe could listen to me and run for president and make some sense.
That's it.
The young people are the only people that you can change. You're not going to change Newt Gingrich. That old goofy fuck. He's not going to take mushrooms. What are you going to do to Newt Gingrich? How are you going to change Newt Gingrich?
You can't even slip him.
He'd freak out and have a heart attack. Yeah. Cut his dick off and drown himself in a bathtub. He'd go crazy.
Oh, dear. That's no way to go.
No, that's no way to go. There's no point to this. I mean, we've had this conversation with 100 different people 100 different times, and there's no...
I don't think that... God, I really get so uncomfortable talking about these things, because I don't feel like I've informed myself enough to have a strong opinion. But my instincts, and just, I agree with you that it doesn't matter who's president. It's like you're fucked, because you inherited a mountain of shit, you know, for centuries. I think that, unfortunately, and God forbid, but you know, I don't think that, you know, I think it's going to be something huge that's going to change everything. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's something catastrophic. I don't know if that's the aliens coming or whatever the fuck. But something else would have to happen for anything to really change.
I think it's happening right in front of our face. I think it's the internet.
Oh, yeah.
If there's an alien, I think the alien's the internet. This alien entity that is created by humans that allows people to connect and exponentially grow together in some strange way that would never be possible without it, to have access to information that would never be available. And no one saw it coming. No one saw it coming. And it's a factor. It's an alien factor created by human beings. It's alien to the Earth. It's alien to any of the systems that have been set up before, as far as natural systems of natural selection, of survival of the fittest, any of those. This is an alien system. This is an access to information,
however,
and language.
If something happens with...
What'd you say, Brian?
Nothing.
If the... Like, none of us have the know-how, most people, Like, if the Wi-Fi gets knocked out, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you lose all access to it.
No, that's true. I mean, look, but you know what? If your jugular gets slit, your blood falls out and you're done. Yeah. You know, it's like just...
God, I hope the internet is in our jugular. That's why I'm saying I need to learn how to live in the woods.
It's culturally...
Make my bows and arrows.
analogous.
And I'll be cool.
To our blood.
Joe, you know which ones are the good berries and the bad berries.
You know that Ultimate Fighter star with the that broke his penis?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
Yes.
I don't know.
This is totally
story.
Unrelated.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Magical Ray Elby. Apparently, he had a girl hopping up and down on his Johnson, and she miscalculated her exit and reentry, and it was tank to tip, snapped his peni.
Oh, no.
And homeboy was in the hospital for several days getting his shaft repaired. And who knows if he'll ever totally recover.
What
that must be
but,
some
but
real
I'm confused.
Force.
What
that's
is that?
How
is
that's
that
a, how an Ultimate Fighter fucks.
Is that tendons? Is that muscle?
It's dick tissue.
He
officially
it off.
Dick tissue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's officially dick
that's
tissue.
That's my new favorite word.
I've never broken it, but I heard it a couple
that's
of
like,
times.
It's like, you okay, baby? How's your dish you?
Yeah. Gotta you
frothy.
Can't.
I got an issue.
You can't let a strange girl who doesn't know how long your penis is ride you. Okay, you gotta. You should hold firmly onto her waist and control her exit and reentry. You gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. You gotta have a good grip on the waist, and you gotta do a lot of kettlebells too. You want to be able to pick her up in case she gets crazy. You want to be able to control that thrust. It's very important.
God.
You know, I mean, a lot of girls would like to be on top. There's nothing wrong with that, folks. Don't get wrong, but you men. Protect your penis, okay? And the way to protect your penis is a firm grip on the hips. There's got to be a certain point where you're in danger. When they pass this, you know how long your dick is, okay?
Was she on top for
she
sure?
Was on top.
Yeah, she was
okay.
Like bouncing up and down.
That's the only way to break a dick.
If he misfired, that is
the only way to
falls
break a dick.
On him.
Okay. You would know you were doing it and you would stop while you were doing it. You wouldn't do it. It's the only way to break a dick is a girl has to be on top. I think that's 100% of all the broken dicks have come from a girl being
it's
on top.
A real
there's
thing.
A few off the bed falls and stuff like that.
Yeah, those guys
you
are.
Kind of go.
Those
head
that's natural
ground.
Selection.
It's like a
they're
real,
supposed to fall.
What'd you do? Trip landed on his dick. It's happened, and then you broke it. That dick.
I don't
that
think
dick.
That's happened. Dude's tripped and landed on his dick.
Full on
in jiu-jitsu once, I used to not wear a cup. And
oh my God, are you
here?
Insane?
Comes that story again. You love this story. I got kneed in the dick, like on the dick, like flattened my dick out, bam, really hard, by my friend Einstein, incidentally. It's
what
a funny
a
nickname.
Jerk.
He's a great guy. Anyway, it wasn't his fault. He was just trying to pass my guard, and he slammed his knee into my dick, and I didn't know I was hurt. I mean, I knew it hurt, but I thought it was okay. And, you know, I just like, and then, you know, you sit down for a minute or so, and then you go back in when you're not in so much pain. But then when I went to the locker room after training, I had blue shorts on or blue pants on. I didn't know. And I took my pants off, and my jock strap was red with blood.
Oh my God.
So my dick had been bleeding into my jock strap. And then I peed, and it came out of my dick. It was bloody. So then I have to figure out, okay, do I overreact here, or do I treat it like I would treat my nose? Because if my nose was bloody.
My face. Shut up.
My nose is important to me. If my nose was bloody, I would go to a doctor. So this is one of the things you have to do when you do jiu-jitsu on a regular basis. You're always getting hurt. So you got to know what the difference between a torn ACL is
and
you know, a cramped muscle, you know? So I had to figure out. So what I did was I decided I was going to masturbate. So I went home.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I went
Are
home.
Are you retarded?
No. I went home and I was like, if I have a hard-on, I'm sure my dick still works. So I'm good. So I got a hard on and I ejaculated, and it looked like an embryo. It looked like the inside of an egg.
No, you don't. No, that's not it. Please tell me that's not your jizz.
No, I don't have my jizz online. My jizz is not online anyway.
Thank God, because I'm not ready for that. I don't want to see that.
And it came out that way. When I peed, it came out that way for 3 or 4 days. And it slowly, like, less and less. So I was like, I kept touching it, make sure it's not infected, there's no pain, I checked my temperature, no fever, everything's cool, there's no infection. So I was like, all right, just took a few days off.
And that was it?
That was it, it healed up. I'm pretty sure it's okay. And I made a baby since then, so it's all good.
A blood baby.
Good for you.
I think brilliant. I made both of my babies since then, so it's 100%. It fires.
Wow.
But it was a little scary. But it didn't look scary. It looked normal on the outside. That's why I was so confident. It wasn't like fat.
How many
and
days did it take until you felt better? Until
it didn't hurt. That was the crazy thing. It just blood was coming out of it.
That is bizarre.
Yeah. Well, it's not bizarre when you get kneed in the dick.
Brian, what is that?
Oh, that is from my dick. No.
No, it's not. Please stop.
It's not. I didn't put it online. That's just blood. But it was really weird. But it was also, I was like really questioning my own judgment. I was like, well, did I just really just jerk off after I broke my dick? What the fuck is wrong with me? And I was like sitting there looking at the sink, looking at this, you know. And I did it like in a medical sort of way. I didn't like sit in front of like a computer like, oh yeah, you fucking.
So you really had a stern look on your face. Like,
Yeah, I was like all medical and shit. Time. I'm sure I probably thought about like some ex-girlfriend or something to get the job done. But it was, you know, a clinical approach.
And everything.
I wanted to make sure that my dick worked. Did that disturb you when Nina Hartley was talking about wearing gloves when she was on Kevin Pereira's show?
Yeah, what the hell was that about? She'd rather have a person wear a glove and put his finger in her
ass.
We had
Nina Hartley on. Do you know who she is?
No.
Old school porn star from like the 80s. And she's still doing orgies and banging people all over the
world.
She's
old.
Mm-hmm.
I do know who that is. What did
I like
she
how
say?
You said that. She's old.
And I'm sorry, what did she say?
She likes to, when people wear gloves, she wears gloves and she wants them to wear gloves.
Like winter gloves?
Fucking, like mittens?
Yeah.
Yeah, like big Christmas Santa Claus.
What is
Claus
it about
type.
The gloves? Did she?
She wants them to be clean. She gloves. Wants everybody to be clean.
I don't blame her. I mean, come on. You don't want just any.
That's,
any finger
oh, that's
going
my
in there.
Fashion photography thing. How dare you? How dare you show my ass? How come you can show my ass on Ustream, but you can't show that the hooker's tit?
Because that's not your real butt, you told me.
That's my real butt. It's not my real butt. The fuck is wrong with you, son? You know what? You guys were going to play another song about an hour
ago. Have to. We don't have to, honestly. I kind of like where this is going.
No, we would love to. You guys play one. It's called Dick Tissue.
Oh,
yo,
no.
Broke. Yo, Dick Tissue. Do you guys have a
we
song
have
called Dick Shit Tissue?
Reset.
No, because what? it's like more of a
something going on here.
No, I just don't know if I want to play this song.
What song is this?
It's a new song, and it's like,
it's a tender one.
Can we talk about? Can we like talk?
Get, bring it down.
Can we get?
Can we bring it down? Can we
tell us
soft?
About your kids, Jill.
My kids are awesome. They're awesome. I love them. They're fun.
Great. Done.
Little girls. I have like little tiny girls that I hang out with every day. A big part of my day is hanging out. Like. Yes, they're your children, like no question, but it's not just my children. It's also a little 4-year-old individual who happens to be a girl, mm-hmm. and she's experiencing all these girl things, and I want to be like, what the fuck? We're not going to go see that. I don't want to get to see that shit, but for whatever it is that she wants to go do, like, we have to go see the Grinch. Like, you have to, like, do it, like, get excited with her. Like, do you want to go to the carousel? Oh, yes! The carousel will be so good! I want to ride a unicorn. Do you think the unicorn will be available? Like, I bet it will.
Did she say available?
Oh, yeah. She's wicked smart. She's crazy smart. But it's like you get to see things through the eyes of a 4-year-old girl.
Available.
It's really interesting. It's fascinating. It's incredibly fascinating. I mean, obviously, I love her to death. She's amazing. I'm so happy. Just having children is like a really incredible experience. It's really hard to wrap your head around it. And I don't recommend it to everybody. And I don't recommend it to people who are in bad situations in their relationship or stressed out. But if you got your ducks in order and you're in a good place with a nice person, having a kid is a crazy experience. When you're, you know, when you could just, it's going to be hard times, but when you can hang out with this little person that you literally love more than you love your own life, like you would sacrifice your own life in order to keep them happy. It's a very strange thing. It's like, as an entertainer, I'm sure you guys can relate to this, especially being around a lot of other entertainers. You guys are very balanced, but not a lot of us are. You know, a lot of us are very me, you know, and it's really hard to get past that. There's a lot of selfish ideas out there in the world of art and creativity, and one of the things that's been really freeing to me is to actually have someone in my life, you know, have people in my life, not just one, a gang of these little people that I literally love more than I like me. You know, I want more for them than for me. And that's, I always thought that was bullshit. I always thought that was what people said because they wanted to hear people go, oh, he's so sensitive. Oh, he's so yoga. I really want, you know what I mean? It sounds like horseshit. But
so
then
yoga.
When you understand the actual relationship between a parent and a child, it's not just a little human being. It's a little human being that is a part of you. I mean, they literally, it's not, you could never understand it unless it's yours. The biological switches that go off are very strange. You know, like, so your whole feeling about love in general changes when you have children, and my whole outlook on human beings. Because once I had children, I changed the way I looked at everybody. I don't look at adults as adults anymore. I look at adults as babies that became adults. I look at adults as like these bundles of potential that slowly but surely became a grown-up human being. What are you playing, Brian?
Little baby.
You're playing babies eating lemons.
Have you given your babies the lemons yet?
Yeah, they like lemons. Wow. They eat them. It's weird.
Haha, face.
Yeah, they make that face, then they bite down and chew them.
Oh, my God. There's a whole community of babies eating lemons.
Yeah. That's the best.
Oh, my God.
It's okay because it's not painful, but it is kind of crazy. You know, like you don't feel like the kid's getting tortured. Because look, they still ate it. They don't wipe their mouth off. They just go, whoa, what the fuck, man? That was a lime. That kid's a pussy. That kid freaked out from a lime. Lime's not even that bad, you little fuck. When I was a kid, we had to walk 20 miles in the snow just to get a lime.
Lies. Lies you tell.
You feel like are we in the right groove now?
We might have gotten there. All right.
What's this next song?
Well, it's... fucking A. Okay, it's kind of called... It's got a weird name. Okay. I'm not sure if this is what we're going to call it, but the chorus is, what you gonna do now? And it's not like, what are you going to do now? Like spelling it out, you know? So like...
So this is not even named yet.
Not really, no. So
we have a chance to hear a song that's not even named.
And maybe you can name it Joe, and okay. that'll be
maybe bad. We'll ask the people on Twitter to name it. People on Ustream, maybe if not. You have some good... Maybe not. Maybe
blood piss?
Maybe not. We're not guaranteeing shit. But if you come up with the perfect name and Ben and Suzanne go, holy shit, that guy... Fuck stick 69, cold blooded. He found it. He found the right name.
Maybe Balls of Steel can help us out here.
Balls of Steel, where are you? You introduced us.
Then he disappeared.
No, he's still on my board. He's still on my. We are all Balls of Steel.
Bloody balls.
Bloody Balls of Steel. Shout out to Duncan Trussell.
Aww.
Aww. That heart is steel.
Too. He's the ball of steel.
Him, Tom Green, and Lance Armstrong can form a trio.
Dude. Oh, my God.
Jesus. What's it called?
New quartet? Planetary no. Avengers.
Trio. It's trio. Yeah. I want to see a triette. I'm going to, you know, quartet sounds better than trio.
A triette?
Trio sounds
we'll
like
work that out next time we come in.
Okay.
Got to take one more man
so,
ball away.
The working title?
What you going to do now?
What you going to do now? Ladies and gentlemen on Twitter, now's your time to be heard.
Right.
Ben and Suzanne are listening.
Yeah. And judging you. Just kidding. We're not. We accept you.
Oh, baby, that fire's coming down. Right into your walls, right out of your mouth. Everything you love just ash on the ground. Ooh, babe, so what you gonna do now? So you run to the river, you run to the sea. You sift through the rubble and search the debris. But you won't find anything. Don't wait until you die, 'cause you can always change your mind, make you right. So why you still waiting outside? Down that door you locked in your chest. You swallowed the key and threw out the gas.
I'm standing here where everyone left.
Oh, babe, so what you gonna do now? Don't wait until you die. 'Cause you can always change your mind and make it right. So
badass. Play another one.
Fuck.
One more?
Oh shit.
Come on, you fucks. You guys are professionals. How dare you?
Well,
I can't play fiddle right now.
You can try.
What are you going to play? What is it? God of Love?
That's kind of a bummer one.
No,
is it a
not.
Bummer?
It's so great. It's Whoa. A song that Ben wrote and I think it's awesome.
Why do you think it's a bummer?
Because of the lyrics and how it sounds.
Ooh.
But what else? What
else can we play?
Why don't we play something fun?
It sounds badass.
Oh yeah, we should probably.
I want to hear the God of Love.
Well, I mean, that's like that's us putting it out there. We've never played it live before. It's just
so what? Do it.
It's like it's brand spanking new.
Listen, we love you. Do it. Make it happen.
I don't care. We can try.
Okay, I hope you guys just accept us out there.
Okay, shit, hold on. All right, here we go.
Oh God of love, if there is one, you got me pinned. So I tap your arm and I slap the floor. I try to tag out, but I got no team. Makes me sad I don't, and I'm the jealous kind, and I don't need to prove it to you. Yeah, I can be an angry woman. I can look right through you. What do I have to do? Get on my hands and knees. What do I have to do? Bow a rosary. Oh, what do you need from me? Oh, won't you tell me? God of love, make me a fine prince. Won't you lock me down, savage my innocence. Give me hands to hold, give me skin to taste. Give him my hips to throw, and I'll give him my time to waste. And I'll do you right, and I'll praise your name. Yeah, I'll pay your tab, even though you drive me crazy. Oh, what do I have to do? Get on my hands and knees. What do I have to do? Bow a rosary. Oh, what do you need from me?
Thank you.
scores. Could I ever ask for more? And it's what I got, what I've been waiting for. 'Cause I feel confused, feel like a train wreck, like all the flowers died, and it ain't winter yet. And I'm the quiet cat, and I'm a solemn soul. So won't you help me stand and pay my toll? To do, get on my hands and knees. What do I have to do about rosary? Oh, what do you need from me? Oh, won't you tell me, please? Won't you tell me, please?
Awesome.
That wasn't a bummer at all. That was awesome. Yeah. Dude, oh, that was awesome.
Got into that.
How about the Ballad of Buck Angel? Have you guys heard that? Somebody, someone.
I'm so glad you said that because I was really hoping.
That's on our Dick Blood
Trosty Trags Vagason on Twitter suggested that. The Ballad of Buck Angel.
Did they really? Fuck yeah, dude. I wanna hang out with that guy.
Fuck yeah, dude. With that guy or Buck Angel? Which one? If you had to
both.
Choose.
I've already hung out with Buck Angel. I mean, come on.
What was
look
that
at,
like?
Look at this. He's such a kind man.
Very tender. Yeah.
Very, very tender. And really, like, very,
very,
very
soft lips.
Genuinely.
Sounds like a steak.
Both of them.
Wait, I was just going to say, which one's he talking about? Eh?
I'm sure one's not soft.
Barf.
So he has dryness problems.
Just puked on his laptop.
I almost did.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't mind trannies, but not that kind. That's a little strong. This tranny's going the other way.
Yes, there's different ways to slice it. No pun intended.
Oh, you're okay with the other direction.
I seem to be more compatible with the men who want to be women than with the women who want to be men. Those confuse me more.
More compatible. That was such a such a PC way.
Well, if you looked at it, like, what would you as a man, what would you choose? We have to wrap this up soon. What would you choose? Would you rather be the man who dates the man who used to be a woman but is now a man?
Okay.
Or, you know what I mean?
Are you like asking Buck me Angel? Personally, Joe? Because
well,
I don't really know how to
answer
that question.
I should ask Ben. Would you rather be
I'm sorry, repeat the question.
A date? Would you rather date a Buck Angel who's clearly very manly but has a vagina,
uh-huh.
or like a little tie?
Would you then?
Little Thai boy who
a twinkie
type situation.
How
be careful.
Dare you?
Who becomes a woman? You would rather have that, right? You would rather have a man who like at least looks like a woman.
You're saying like a manly vagina having
right.
man or a
Buck Angel's truly a man, truly a man, but not really. Really is a woman has a vagina.
Yeah.
Would you rather have that or? Would you rather have a guy who used to be a guy but wanted to be a girl? Always felt like he was a girl, but really looks like a girl.
Do you
are they
want
gonna listen
a bear?
To me when I talk to them?
Are they gonna listen
yeah.
to you?
What are we gonna talk about?
Do you really need that? Don't you have friends? Come on. What's going on?
You're right.
Is that what
you're
you really
right.
want out of a relationship?
Right.
You want them to listen to you?
You're absolutely
you get
right.
a dog, man. Dogs will listen to you. They don't know what the fuck you're
he
saying.
Does. He's got Larry Bird.
Nice.
And Larry Bird fucking loves Ben.
Maybe Larry Bird will
and
just,
he does talk to you.
You won't need a relationship anymore. Just jerk off and have Larry Bird in your life and cut all the complications out, man.
Twink's a short name
simply.
For a transsexual, right?
No, twinks are little gay fellas who are, you know, fairly non-muscular and very boy-like. And,
what do they call them in China?
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Oh,
you
Red
son
Band.
Of a bitch. He, and he
you
fucking
evil
prepared
motherfucker.
That one. He prepared that one in his shitty little mind for like
his
an
shitty
hour.
Mind.
Oh, like 20 seconds.
For like an hour. He was rolling around how to introduce that one.
That's,
son of a bitch. Yeah. Son of a bitch.
Not controversial.
Thursday night, Red Band will be at the Improv in Hollywood the
That's
night
right.
before the End of the World show. Joey Diaz is going to be there. I'm most likely going to be there. Let's just say I'm going to be there. Fuck, I'm
okay,
going to be there.
You're there.
Yeah, like I said, there's only 60 tickets left for for the Wiltern with Honey Honey.
Honey
performing.
Honey wants to come. She can come, too.
Yeah,
she if you guys want to the
well,
night
ben,
before.
Can Ben come, too? You fuck?
I said, Honey
Christ.
Honey.
Yeah,
ben
he said
wants
she
to,
can come.
Oh.
Okay, they are a group. It's them. It's not she. It's them.
Honey,
look,
honey,
you got to make out with both of us.
Oh, so just, I don't care.
He will do that. He has no fear. He has no fear of making out with Ben
I've got
while he has sex with you.
Oh, trust me, I'm under the influence for 3 days, so you got me. Wow.
The kids Randy and Reddy, ladies and gentlemen. If you're in the Pasadena area, Brian Redback giving out sperm. All righty. Brian Redband to the main stage.
Wow. All right, you guys. I got some frothy loads for you.
$14 margarita. Step on up.
And they don't yellow because there's some pee in it.
All right. Ruined it again, you fuck. You son of a bitch.
Like
settle
it.
The fuck down. Okay. This show essentially is over.
This was a fun one. It got dark.
Thank you for having us.
But
no,
it was
please.
It was
thank
good.
You guys for being on it. You know, if it wasn't for you guys, we probably would have never went down the road of musical guests. It's been really fun. You guys
were
the first.
Dude, Balls of Steel, whatever it was in, it was in the fucking stars for us, guys.
Yeah, I think it was.
You it's know, friendship.
It was, I mean, the guy, if you don't know the story, a guy on my message board sent me a message, a personal message, said, this is going to be your new favorite band. And it was you guys playing Angel of Death on the top of a roof somewhere in L.A. And it was an acoustic version of it. And I was like, wow, like, these guys are fucking good. And then I just started, I think I saw My Little Toy Gun. I think that was the next song I saw. And I just watched a bunch of your videos. And I'm like, holy shit, these guys are awesome. And somehow or another, we all got together. And now we're besties.
Yay. It's pretty awesome.
And we are.
I like what's happening here, guys.
It's beautiful. You know, that's one of the coolest things about the internet is the ability to connect people. The other cool thing, stalkers.
That's not cool at all. I disagree
cool.
very strongly.
I'm being facetious. That's the problem with the ability to connect people. Some people are just not fully developed. They're not ready. They're not
you know,
ready for others.
Not to segue from stalkers at all, because that's like a wrong place to go from. But I do want to have a little shout out and a thank you to all the amazing Death Squad fans that have come to our shows. There's some incredible people that we've met on our.
Did you ever think
our,
you'd be thanking a Death Squad
during our travels?
Just stop and think about how weird that is.
No.
I'd like to thank the Death Squad. Did you ever think those words would come out of your mouth?
I don't think I would, no. Yeah.
Well, but we never thought we would call ourselves a Death Squad either, so.
Why do you call them the Death Squad?
We were on the Opie and Anthony show. What
okay.
was it, 2006 or some shit like that?
Yeah.
And Opie, when we walked in, I walked in with Tate Fletcher, this big giant dude from The Ultimate Fighter, good mm-hmm. buddy of ours, and Eddie Bravo, who's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And Opie goes, oh, here's Joe Rogan. He brought in the Death Squad. Like there's these people that were killers. And we just, as a joke, started calling ourselves a Death Squad, you know, because
that's really
he
funny.
Said that. And then Brian started the Death Squad podcast network, and it sort of spread through that. And then Brian started selling the Death Squad t-shirts, and then people showed up at shows, and they're all wearing these Death Squad t-shirts. And now
great.
People, like, put hashtag Death Squad.
It's all hashtagged all over the place. Yeah, it's crazy.
And Brian does, like, Death Squad shows. You know, he calls the comedy shows Death Squad shows. It just was a crazy thing that sort of just grew and became weird.
It's like our group of friends, pretty
yeah.
much. Like our gang, you know, like we're approving. Like if you're on the Death Squad, we pretty much approve of your comedy, your what
yeah.
you do. And,
can
yeah.
musicians be in your Death
yes.
Squad?
Oh, yeah, you're
on
the Death Squad.
Totally
Death Squad.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
You guys
that was a good
are
100%
Death Squad approved.
Dude.
Yeah. Unanimously.
That's
unanimous.
Cool.
Yeah.
Unanimous. We voted right now.
Comes with free herpes.
I'm so happy. I'm so excited.
It's a noise, but we don't really mean the connotation of those words to connect it together like Death Squad. It became something else. And even though it has that name, we don't think of any. There's no death involved. You know, there's no squad. It's like it's a bunch
games.
Of silly, happy people.
Yep.
You know, but they just ironically call themselves Death Squad.
Yeah, it's
with the Highland cat too. That really does it.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, will be our 300th motherfucking episode.
Whoa!
And,
we were 299.
Yes, you guys were 299. And that's joining good. Us tomorrow will be none other than the great Joey Coco Diaz. Allegedly.
What the
okay?
fuck, cocksucker?
You never know with Joey. You never know what's going to happen. It's part of the fun.
And it's also baby week, too. You never know if he's
yeah.
night.
Joey Diaz's wife is about to hatch.
Yeah.
A new Joey Diaz.
Push that back in there.
A female Joey Diaz who will no doubt be the funniest girl in preschool. She's going to come out of Joey.
The cats are going to babysit the kid tonight, huh?
Cracking jokes right away. It's going to be very interesting. Joey will be with us Friday night at the Wiltern. Honey, Joey Diaz, Doug Stanhope. and me.
That's going to be awesome.
And listen, I got all these emails from all these different people saying they're coming from all over the world. We appreciate the fuck out of that. And we're very excited. And I'm so glad that we Doug and I talked about doing this probably in 2003 when we first started doing our shitty version of the Man Show. We said we should have an end of the world party, and we're doing it. JoeRogan.net, my comedy special, it's already out. I was supposed to not talk about it until tomorrow, but a bunch of people have already saw it on Twitter while this podcast was going on and said they loved it, which I'm very happy to hear. I'm really happy for it. I would never put it out if it sucked. I worked really hard on this. It was like a good solid year of preparation, and then it was a long time to set up the infrastructure to sell this and to be able to distribute it online. What Louis C.K. did is a real game changer. It sort of changed the way a lot of people, certainly the way I think about it. Releasing things like this was never even an option or a consideration until we started doing this podcast. So thank you very much. We appreciate the fuck out of you guys. We're all in this together. It's helping me as much as it's helping you guys. I swear to God. I don't even believe in God. And I swear to him. I believe in Odin. and send him praise. Praise Odin, ladies and gentlemen. It's not that I don't believe in God. It's that I don't believe in him, and I don't not believe in him. If he was there, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked. Life itself is fucking crazy.
God is an operating system, Joe.
Could be. God could be the guy who programmed the simulation. He could be some autistic kid in Seattle.
Yeah.
With a fucking laptop. All right, you fucks. Look, we love the shit out of you. We're sending out positive messages to you. Take them in and do with them what you will. And we'll see you tomorrow. Mwah.